Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says, bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you're giving me here. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine you're a deer. You're prancing along, you get thirsty, you spot a little brook, you put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water.
Bam! Bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants a son of a who shot you was wearing?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is a much nicer Tuesday than it has been here in New England. The sun's starting to come out, and summer is actually getting to Gillette Stadium. It's been rough. But I'm back from a week hiatus, and Eric's here, Andy's here, Paul is out, right?
Paul's out this week.
Or is he just late?
No, he's out this week.
He's out?
Yeah. Is he probably listening to the show.
He could be on radio, for all we know.
Tacoma said he just replied in a snarky way to Tamash's lunch email to us.
Oh, okay.
So Paul's at home on his email on his vacation.
Okay, so Paul's home, he's out for the week. Doc's in the booth. Tacoma is around. Now, while I was out last week, who did the board? Was it you, Doc? What's your review of Tacoma?
It was a good show.
Did you listen?
Of course. Downloaded the podcast on my way back from Colorado.
He did okay, huh?
I was fine with it.
All right.
The bit was a little tight, but
oh, wow.
That's fine.
Wow. Bit was a little tight. What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
What bit were you talking about?
The basil bit. We talked about it. Oh. We'll fix it, and we'll have it good to go again.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
So, guys, did you guys make out all right without me last week?
I never make out with Eric.
I wasn't here last week.
Any dust-ups? You were out again?
What do you mean again?
Gets more vacation than God.
I took 1 week off.
Last week?
You get two. Yeah.
You have another one coming?
No, I took one earlier this year.
Okay. So you're done?
Yeah, unfortunately.
So you were here, right?
I was.
Paul had a solo show on Tuesday.
Paul had his show with B-Lo for an hour and then the interns. Supposedly the hour with the interns was the worst ever.
Really? Really?
Worse than a solo effort.
Doc, I also heard that Paul took many gratuitous shots at me while I was not here. Is that true?
I don't think so.
No?
The listeners did.
Well, I'm sure they did.
There was that one guy that saw you on the front of a gay parade float in Canada somewhere in a black leather thong.
Yeah, he was mistaken. Clearly.
It was a blue thong.
And it was suede. Blue suede thong.
All right, so guys, let's get into the Patriots talk. I know it's the quiet time of the NFL season. If there's ever a quiet time, this is it.
Or as Paul called it shortly after Steve McNair's death, he called it the dead period.
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah.
No, God.
But the Patriots did make a little news yesterday. They announced that they signed Darius Butler, mm-hmm. one of their second-round picks. So that's good news.
And sure. There was actually, it's sort of a meaningless, okay, your second round pick signed in July, whatever. But there was sort of some confusion that Florio had sources saying that there was talk of the contract maybe not being approved or the language of the deal. But I'm assuming because the team announced it, it's done.
They don't usually
announce it until it's signed, sealed, delivered, filed, all that. So I don't know what that confusion or discussion with the management council was.
Right, the management council could have approved it, but maybe some other team sees something and said, hey, wait a minute, you know, and they might be appealing it. Or
well, Florio attempted to get some comment from the league. They didn't.
Well, what's being contested?
No one knows. He can't find out. No one knows. He had some sources look at the deal from teams, and they thought it would be approved. They didn't see the problem, so it might be much ado about nothing. It's one of those minor little. It's only news right now because there is no news.
But I agree with Andy that this team doesn't normally make announcements like that until every
it's ironclad.
T has been crossed and every I dotted.
Yeah,
so
we get Patriots.com gets criticized a lot because sometimes they don't put up the signing, and people hear about it, you know, from other sources first. And
because
it's just the policy of the PR department not to put up a signing until it's official.
Because they've had issues in the past.
They have.
With some things that were reported, not reported, different things. I know Jamal Anderson was one of them. Even Ted Washington, there were some reports he was coming back. Then he went to Oakland. So different things.
Yep.
So they just, it's safer to just wait until it is 100% filed, stamped, and approved.
But assuming that it is a deal.
Yes.
That's good because Patriots don't have any first rounders to worry about. Mm-hmm. He's what, their second round pick?
Third
second round pick.
Brace technically.
Yeah,
one
so
pick
guys behind
him,
they signed one guy from the fourth round already.
Ornberger.
Yeah.
And reportedly have signed
prior. So guys will start to fall in place, and they'll work on Chung. Mm-hmm. And
I have no concerns.
Yeah,
I don't either.
I mean, two and a half weeks or so to go, and
so everything will
no
get
first
done.
Round pick.
Right. So that's good to not have that be an issue.
Right.
Not that it is a lot for the Patriots.
It's almost never an issue.
It's just nice to have it taken care of.
Can you ask a question for me through your sources, your channels?
Yeah.
Why do they wait so long? A lot of teams start doing contracts, you know, after the draft in May and June, and the Patriots always start late and finish in time. It's not like it becomes an issue generally. I was just wondering if it's, you know, they focus on other things. It's mini camps and those things, and then they turn the page to the contract.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just one of those things I've kind of want to know and haven't had the opportunity to ask anyone. So.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think it's an issue.
Remind me to ask. I'm not going to remember.
By the way, I got poked by the owner last week.
What?
Where?
In my cube.
Oh.
I was typing an email, and all of a sudden somebody jabbed me in the ribs, and I turned around, and it was Mr. Kraft.
Wow.
And he said, what's going on?
What'd you tell him?
I said, it's the dead period, according to Paul Perillo.
So you just threw him under the bus.
And then I said, you know, the contracts, rookies are starting to come in, and he didn't seem worried about those at all. And then he said, what are you hearing around the league? And I said, it's the dead period. What are you hearing? You got better sources than I do. And he chuckled and walked off.
Stop laughing, Paul Perillo.
And he said, why do I still employ you? You don't know anything.
He's not in the business of giving you info. He wants to know what you know.
Right.
Did he know your name?
Oh, yeah. Well, he generally calls me the Jumbo.
Well, it's on this cube, so.
And he's referring to the college you went to, not your head.
Right.
Or who?
Well, one of his sons went to the same school that you went to.
Right. So. And there are some Kraft-named fields.
Very interesting. Tufts, which is the school you went to. Their veterinary school sent us an article yesterday about Patriots games, the number of visits to vet offices goes way
down.
But that's
we were crunching the numbers.
It said may
earlier,
be affected,
and it said right, and then it
you didn't even read it, did you?
Oh no.
And then it showed that the only time that there was any sort of significant change was at 4 o'clock games.
Because they broke it down
and
8 into 4-hour windows,
really affected,
and it was only the 2007 season, so there's a limited sampling of 4 o'clock games, so it was sort of inconclusive, the study, but it was interesting, and I read not all of it, but I read the beginning, and they cited other studies that have been done in Europe for soccer where they've done similar studies. There was another one around here.
That was
weather.
My question.
There's different factors.
Where they got the idea to do it in the first place. So it's been done before.
It's been done before,
other
they
sports?
Chose to use the National Football League and the Patriots in particular
in one
for this
season.
Region to see if it. Yeah, in one season. It was a short-term study to see how it played out. But they didn't find anything necessarily conclusive. Which you'd, I mean, you'd like. It's an emergency room they're talking about.
Right.
Not a scheduled visit. So you'd like to think, even if there was a big game on, if your pet needed to go to the emergency room, you'd take him.
I would think so. I think you'd wait. They can wait.
You might.
You're unbelievable.
There's a reason they call it the emergency room.
Yeah.
Because it's an emergency.
It'll keep till after the fourth it'll quarter. Keep.
What if you found your dog, first of all, it?
Yeah.
What's it? The pet? The injury?
Yeah, the injury.
What if your dog fell in the pool, was floating?
I go to get it out.
And what if it wasn't breathing properly? You would say, well, the game's on. We'll be back in a couple hours.
Tell the wife to take him.
Oh, my God.
I love when he turns into, like, this prototypical, I'm the guy. Yeah, I'll tell her what to do.
Sure.
Then I hear him answer the phone. Yeah. Oh, hi there, honey. Hi. Oh, you need milk? Oh, yeah. And eggs? Not a problem. I'll be home by 5:30.
Okay.
I don't go in the supermarket.
What do you mean you don't go in the supermarket?
Peapod?
I don't shop.
She does all the shopping?
Yeah.
We've gone to Peapod. It's a lot easier online.
She said, at one point she said, oh, it would be nice if you would come with me. And then she saw
the family show.
and then she saw some other guys like trailing their wives in the supermarket. She goes, you know what? On second thought, they look like such tools, like following their wives around. I don't want to do that to you. So I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You know, I have no business in there. I don't care what she buys. I'll eat whatever she buys.
I find that very hard to believe based on the way you receive these orders and critique every single thing and how it's wrong.
Me?
You.
You are the one that does that.
Wait a minute. I've never complained about my chicken parm calzone.
On TV?
Here's what I want to know, Andy. Does he, whenever Nikki feeds him, does he take a bite or two and then throw the rest of it out?
Just throw it out. It's not good enough.
You do that?
No.
How come you do it here, then?
Why are you so picky here and on the road? When we go out on Saturday nights, oh, you complain about this, complain about that, eat half this, eat half that. I don't buy that you don't complain at home.
Because at home, I get served what I'm going to eat. Here, we get such huge portions.
She would kick his ass if he threw out anything.
Right, that's the bottom line.
What?
Meow.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I have always been a person back, you know, since going to cafeterias in school. If this food put in front of me, I'll eat it. I don't.
That's not true. We've seen examples of you not doing that.
I have a bite of everything,
and then you throw the rest out.
Well, what are you going to do with it?
Eat it.
I can't.
It's not deadly.
It's not a matter of not.
That's not true. I've seen you on the road. This is terrible.
Those
times
that you've seen me do that, we've had such a smorgasbord of food that I couldn't possibly eat everything.
I don't know about that.
I question that.
I think you're fibbing.
Eat your banana, Eric.
Wow, one bite.
Throw this out.
All right. So other than Darius Butler.
Did you hear me say Pryor?
Pryor?
According to...
Myron Pryor?
No, Richard Pryor.
What about him?
Which are our draft picks. Daryl Richard.
Right.
Marvin. He reportedly has agreed to a deal, too, according to the Boston Globe and Mike Reese, who's generally on point with those assessments.
It would seem to appear.
It would seem to appear that 3 of the 12 picks have now reached agreements with the team. And I'm sure that'll be announced later. Did you like Drew Rosenhaus tweeting the Butler one? He tweeted it.
I heard that that's where it came from, yeah.
And he said a 4-year deal they were happy to reach an agreement on.
Oh, Fred, just to tease a little bit the upcoming issue and your edit letter in it. I read the first line of it as we were going through the edit process. And it
this
struck
morning,
me,
late.
It, well, yeah. But it struck me that the NFL saw the need to tell its players that they're not allowed to tweet on the sideline during games. What kind of world do we live in where players are taking their cell phones out to games and even doing that they need to be told not to do it? What is that really happening?
Well, Chad Johnson had said he was going to tweet from the sideline, from the locker room, halftime, during the game.
Well, him, yeah, he says a lot of stupid things. But are there instances where that has happened?
No, but it's better to nip it in the bud before it does.
And I think
they
the
don't
NBA
want to have to
did.
Leave it to the teams to discipline that. Make it come from the league so teams don't have to get into the
it's
business
also the no fun league.
Telling the players to do that, you know.
I agree with this stance from them, but it's what they do.
Who
they
was the
measure...
NBA guy that did that?
Was it Shaq? I know the NBA, somebody was
tweeting
from the
bench. Yeah, one of
the
players did from the bench. It wasn't Shaq, though.
But
and it wasn't a player who was like injured and just sitting on the bench.
I don't remember exactly.
In the suit or something.
Yeah, I don't remember. That's inappropriate too, though. I mean, if he's still a member
right.
of the team,
and your team is
they're
playing,
in the heat of battle,
attention.
So to speak.
Right.
I mean, but it's what the league does. I mean, they clamp down on everything. That's why they got the no fun.
So
league.
This is more of a preemptive strike than a reactionary one.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to measure towels and how far they hang down, they're certainly not going to allow players to tweet during games.
I see where that could get out of hand.
tweeting?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, yeah.
But who,
first of all, there's no filter.
It could get out of hand, but who in their right mind is going to take a phone out during the game?
Well.
You mean the way T.O. did?
I'm not sure they're in their right mind.
Didn't T.O. hide a phone?
No, that was the guy from New Orleans and Atlanta.
Joe Horn did it.
But I mean,
but that was like a prop. I mean,
I know,
that was
right?
Like,
but now's the next step. It's no longer a prop. It's actually being used. There's function to it.
I can see where it would get out of hand.
Especially in the heat of the game, if somebody there's a controversial call, someone who might think better of saying or tweeting something would do it in the heat of the moment and regret it, and Lord only knows.
And obviously, if I'm a coach,
loses.
I don't want my players doing that anyway. But this avoids having to have each team tell their players to do it. It's an overall mandate from the league, so makes it easier on the teams to have.
But
it
is kind of a mixed message you're sending as a league. You're tweeting everything. You know, the Patriots are tweeting draft picks, and the league is tweeting, and Goodell is tweeting, and everybody's tweeting, but you can't tweet.
Yeah, but Goodell's not tweeting during a meeting he's having with owners.
No, but is there a difference between?
Yes.
You're going to say yes, but the Patriots tweeting before they make a draft pick, that's in the heat of that moment. That's in a league function. And a player, when he functions, isn't allowed to.
No, because
I'm just saying.
The role of the PR department on draft day is to get info out. The role of a player on game day is to play football, not be tweeting on a cell phone.
Who is supposed to enforce and tell the player what his job is? The league or his coach and his team?
They're paid to play on Sunday.
Who pays them? The Patriots.
Right.
And the Bengals.
Right.
So why is the league saying they can't do it?
You don't want one.
I don't think they should be doing it. I'm just saying it's a little bit.
All it takes is one team to say, yeah, we're okay with our players doing it. Now you got a bunch of disgruntled players on another team. You make it across the league so that you don't have to get into that.
It's a little bit as I say, not as I do.
Who's a player's coach these days?
Wade Phillips. I don't know what he is.
Jerry Jones, I could see.
Jim Mora.
Would allow his players to tweet on the sideline, you know? And it would get out of hand. It would be ridiculous, you know? So.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm just saying I think as a player you could have reason to say, how come you're allowed to and I can't?
I mean, could you just imagine if any players on the Patriots were caught with a cell phone on the sideline?
I don't think you'd
have
to worry about it.
No,
I
but
think
I'm
fear
I'm just,
of being caught
of course.
Would keep them from ever.
Of course, but that my point is, what does that say about Bill and the rest of the coaches in the league that there are players on other teams who would be willing to even consider it? They wouldn't even consider that here.
Yeah, well, Brady would, just because he could if he wanted to.
Okay, he might be the one exception, but I mean,
Moss,
the guy that tweeted on the NBA, according to Josh and strippers, is Charlie Villanova from the Bucks, and he actually tweeted during halftime of a Celtics game. So, Boston tie-in there.
Luckily,
and was he actually playing?
I don't know who the hell is Charlie Villanova.
I don't know. I'm sure.
I believe it's
strippers.
Villanueva. And I believe
he went
to the
UConn.
Pistons. He's on the Pistons now. Didn't he sign as free agent?
Well, anyway, he was the guy that did it. You know, I don't think they should be doing that.
Now, do you think owners like Mark Cuban should be doing it, personally?
Yes, if they want to, sure.
So you're okay with everything his, because he tweets a lot.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with players tweeting generally either, you know, as long as it's not during a game. But I think any time you can narrow that connection between the fan and the players or the fan and the team, it's a good thing.
By the way, I've assigned Eric to write about this, do a feature on this.
Oh, yeah? Tweeting?
Just Twitter,
that,
Facebook, website,
stuff,
and how the players, Vince Wilfork does it. Brady did his own site. Just kind of how they're using all this new technology.
One thing you should mention in it, and I don't know if you want to get some interview with the head of our security, but the league is, making an effort to tell these guys the dangers of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the league is also doing a nice job certifying, telling everybody who the real Vince Wilfork is.
Yeah.
They've been certifying the Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing because there have been a lot of
fake
phone. I mean, there's a bunch of Bill Belichick ones that I'm sure are not him.
It's dangerous to be a celebrity these days with all these social devices out there. You know, people can assume your identity or, even worse, get at you.
Right.
The players have to be careful. things that you say using these devices are not private.
Right.
You know, people think, oh, if I have a Facebook account, it's just the people that are my friends that see it.
Well, those people are dumb.
Oh, yeah. It's just not true.
I had some friends visiting yesterday, and they were telling me he's a big Apple guy, kind of like you, Fred. And he was telling me that Steve Jobs' wife, I guess, had a Facebook account for either the charity she works for or something. But she identified herself as, I don't know what her first name is, but Mrs. Jobs. And she said that her husband was Steve Jobs of Apple and all this stuff. And one day, I guess, they realized it was too risky and gone, vanished. So they took it off.
I think her first name was Flo.
You're unbelievable. You really are.
I don't get it.
Her last name is Jobs. What does Flo rhyme with?
What?
He's such a...
All right. Web
Fred's
radio,
back, re-energized.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
You look like you got some sun, too, Fred.
Yeah. The few days that it was nice out, I was out by the pool. Mm-hmm. Tell you that much. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. If Paul wants to call in, he's welcome.
You going to Paul's party?
Yeah, I feel obligated.
You feel obligated?
Yeah.
Like sure. Looking forward
Paul
to it?
That. No, he's nice enough to throw a party for us. You know,
he's doing it in lieu of your party.
I know. I still don't have the deck. They're not fixing the deck until the 21st.
And you haven't gotten the trees taken care of yet?
No, but that's not going to be till August anyway. Although I did email the guy about insurance, and he hasn't got back to me yet.
Big surprise.
We'll see.
Did you respond to Paul's invitation?
No.
Yeah. He's going to be mad at you.
He's not happy.
I replied yesterday.
No one did.
Really? Oh, that's not nice. I just assume that he knows I'm coming.
He's trying to figure out food.
But you know the part where he said, I need a head count so I can figure out the food?
Right.
That meant he needed a head count.
Well, he's not supplying all the food, is he?
He's catering it.
He's catering it?
I think so.
Why don't you that's not right.
You should have a talk with him.
Yeah.
Or just write him a check.
I don't want him paying for us. I'll figure something out for him.
Why don't we invite get listeners and they can...
We got to get
$10 tickets, Paul Perillo's house.
We should get him a gift or something.
Or we can invite listeners if they buy us the food for the party.
All right, you know what? I'm in my inbox right now. And
you don't have the email?
No, I do. I have it right here.
Because, he was going to have somebody cater it, and he needed a head count. I don't think it's anything fancy. It's not your, swordfish kebabs. Burgers and chicken and stuff.
I just sent him. I'm in.
Now, did you reply, Nikki's coming, Nikki's not coming? Head count generally includes a number.
Me plus one. Foofy fancy.
No, you are a plus one. You go on an airline, they make you buy two seats. Ho.
Andy's back.
All right, webradio@patriots.com.
Flow jobs.
You're just getting that now.
Well, it doesn't really make sense. I mean, Florence Jobs, that's not funny.
Wow. Andy, critiquing sophomore humor now.
Is her middle name Richard?
I mean,
we can just make all these sort of connections.
Who got lunch today?
Yes. And I want Jim to answer a question. Jim in Texas bought us lunch. Very good. Calzone, good as...
You're a good man, Jim.
Pretty good fried dough today.
Yeah, they did a good job on the fried dough today.
I did not know that Jim was in the Coast Guard. And I want to know, I've always been very interested in those boats they have.
You
in the
had
Coast
a guy
Guard.
From the Coast Guard here the other day.
I did?
2 weeks ago.
Kevin.
Oh, was he
Andy
here?
Was on vacation.
Oh, you weren't
Andy
here.
Wasn't
One
here
of
for
our
that.
Visitors was active duty Coast Guard. He
Kevin,
was on leave.
Because I want to know more about those boats that roll over. Those Coast Guard ships that can right themselves and do rolls.
Oh, yeah? They're called a kayak.
No, they're big, destroyer-sized boats, or maybe not that big, but they can roll themselves over. I think that's cool. I want to know how it works.
That is cool.
So, Jim, let me know if you're on one of those boats that can roll itself over.
You're looking into boats. You should get one of those.
Now, do you have any part of your land? Is it oceanfront or lakefront?
No water.
No water.
I've actually told my wife, I wish we had a stream or something that came through our...
I would think it's some part of your land. You probably parts that you haven't been to.
I'd
actually
parts
was, might
have
water.
I'm actually thinking of I want to build a pond. There's a low-lying area where water naturally pools and
well,
rains.
Well, if you dig deep enough, maybe you can unleash a natural spring that could create a pond for you.
You want him to go drill for oil?
Oh. You wouldn't get very far that way.
All right.
All right, what else is going on football-wise? Anything?
Favre around is still the flirting with the Vikings.
They sent a guy to work him out.
The trainer went over to Minnesota.
But interestingly, did you know the Browns open up with the Vikings? So Mangini could face Favre in the opener.
Oh.
And his son, whose middle name is Favre, or middle name is Brett, or
Brett,
what did he do?
Yeah. Something.
Yeah.
But the story I saw yesterday about that was that one of the writers was questioning whether Favre wasn't signed yet because he was trying to milk the Vikings for more money.
Probably.
I mean, come on.
Anything despicable you can say about Brett Favre, I can say.
I still
don't care if he comes back or not because he has the right. But
I have to believe that Favre is getting a little bit of cold feet here.
Which way?
That he doesn't want to play.
I think he's just indecisive.
Yeah.
In both directions.
I just think he's a moron.
He's got to realize what he'd be doing if he played for the Vikings to his legacy.
Yeah.
You know? He would go down as a bad guy.
But what does he need his legacy for?
I think he's already there.
Now he's kind of a nut.
So. Yeah,
now he's kind of a whack job who lost it at the end.
Right.
But if he goes in there strictly to play against the Packers,
stick it to Ted Thompson.
I think he goes down as a bad guy.
Because
at the end of the day, it's not about management; it's about the fans. And he would really be disrespected.
In his mind, it wouldn't be, but the fans will perceive it
that way.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
In his mind, he's going after, was it Ted Thompson?
Look, if Tom Brady at the end of his career got into a squabble with Robert Kraft and went to the Jets just to play against the Patriots, I would hate him.
You're going to hate him no matter what the second he takes off 12 for the last time.
No. If he goes to San Francisco and plays a year like Joe Namath did for the Rams, went to L.A. and played for the Rams.
Played for the Rams in San Francisco.
No, but he went to L.A. and played for the Rams. If Brady did the same and played for, like, San Francisco,
Brady goes to Green Bay and plays for a year with the Cowboys.
That would be okay. I have no problem with that. But if you go to a team that's your arch enemy just to play against your former team, how can a fan stomach that? Really?
But does he care and does he need it?
Well, if he doesn't care, then he's a bad guy.
But I think some fans will stomach it because
those fans made him the rich man he is today.
True.
And I think some fans will forgive and forget. I think they will.
Yeah, I do too.
Not me.
Time heals. You're not even a Packers fan.
Especially when it comes time for
Hall
of Fame.
If I was a Packers fan, I would not forgive and forget.
When it comes time for the Hall of Fame and that guy gets in, you know it's going to be swarmed with Green Bay fans and Green Bay jerseys with the four on
awkward.
Them.
Awkward. I think it'd just be awkward.
But fans have short memories.
Especially if he beats the Packers. Keeps them out of the playoffs or something.
They still have short memories. They forget for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
I think they would. They'd be mad initially, but I think in the long run, can you think of anything
in the history of football, NFL, like that situation where a guy came out of retirement, played on an arch enemy just to get back at his old team? I don't remember anything like this. Now, it might have happened and we didn't know about it because – but to outright say it, I don't remember any case like this. You know, like I read about Babe Ruth, and he didn't mind sticking it to the Red Sox.
Are you done with that book yet?
Yeah, I'm done.
Thankfully. I'm sick of hearing about Babe Ruth.
No, but he didn't mind sticking it to the Red Sox when he first came back. But he didn't have any control. He was traded.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
This is different.
All players, like, I mean.
They all want to come back, but this is different. This is where a guy comes out of retirement specifically to stick it to his old team. Maybe I'd like to hear maybe from our listeners if they know of a case similar to this in any sport, not just football.
I can't really think of.
You know?
And would they forgive Tom Brady if that scenario that you just spelled out earlier were to come
if
true?
If Tom Brady had a squabble with management here, left retired, came out of retirement, signed with the Jets for a year just to play and beat the Patriots – how would you as a fan feel? You know, be interesting to see. I think
everybody's going to say they'd be really mad.
I would say that's not the guy I thought he was.
But 4 years after, they'd be like, oh, I love Tom Brady. Yeah. He was the greatest we ever
had. And 5 years later when he's in the Hall of Fame as a first balloter, they'll be there.
Time heals all wounds.
Another thing I want to bring up today, since, you know, we'll be looking for things to talk about. We're here until 2 o'clock.
It's only 12:30. Holy crap.
I don't want to rehash the great debate. But something about the great debate brought this to mind. a lot, you know, and it was actually an Ask PFW letter that I read today when we were putting the newspaper to bed about how Montana, because of his rings, kind of gets the nod over guys like a Marino, who mm-hmm. was great but doesn't have any Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy like Paul Perillo says, you know, winning championships should not make a difference when you're judging a guy's greatness. You know what? I'm going to disagree with that.
I'm surprised.
In the game of football.
He's going to argue with Paul when Paul's not here.
In the game of football, I think it would be good for the experts, whoever they are, fans, media, to consider championships when considering a guy's greatness.
Well, they do.
Well,
I'm sure they do.
But yeah. people
I mean, I read quotes today that said if Steve McNair had,
right,
was
right.
1 yard away from the
right.
Hall
right.
of Fame.
Exactly.
I think, you know,
which
Paul,
is ridiculous.
And
it's
I,
not
I,
a Hall
yeah,
of Fame.
Okay,
not.
Maybe I'm just disagreeing with Paul then on this. But I think that
Paul's not here.
The number of championships you have in the ultimate team sport is directly correlated to your greatness.
Fred, you don't even believe your own
you know,
crap.
So then, and I think, you know, if
Charles Haley is the greatest player that ever played defense.
No. But let's just say that a player is very
Super Bowl rings, right?
Let's just say I'm a narcissistic player, like a, you know,
using his argument.
You know, I'm very self-centered. I'm really into individual accolades, mm-hmm. individual awards, all that stuff. I'm that type of player. If I know that I'm going to be judged by championships, okay, then that might turn my motivation to doing everything I can to help the team win.
All right.
And I think that's a good thing.
How about, let me throw this at you. Deion Sanders.
Yes.
Great player, yes?
Yep.
Would he have been a great player had he not won Super Bowls with Dallas and San Francisco?
No. Of course he would still be recognized for his individual talent. But when you're ranking him, I think that the championships should add to his ranking. And
it does. It always does.
I think it does. But I just remember Paul saying it shouldn't. Elway would be the same if he hadn't won those two championships at the end of his career.
He would not be thought of the same. No way.
I don't think he should be thought of the same.
I still would consider him probably the best
because
quarterback I've ever
seen. Because
if
you're playing the ultimate team sport, no matter how good your individual skills are, if it doesn't help your team win a championship, then
you're kind
really
of contradicting your own
talent.
Argument. In the ultimate team sport, no matter how great you are, maybe it's not enough to carry your team if you have a terrible team around you.
That would have been my argument with Elway, is because I always thought Elway was the greatest quarterback I ever saw, especially because he didn't have the talent around him, and he still brought his team to the
Super
Bowls.
And I understand that, but I do think that championships matter when judging individuals in football.
They do. We agree.
The pearl of wisdom from Fred, championships matter.
Well, I think Paul would disagree.
But I think on an individual basis, they don't. I mean, you have to judge a guy. Is he great?
But
you take into account where he fits in the hierarchy later.
I know, but the goal in football is to win championships. And if your team never achieves that goal, that's a strike against you.
But do you believe the Miami Dolphins didn't win Super Bowls because of Dan Marino? That he didn't do enough.
I think at the
end, if that's true, then that should downgrade him. I agree.
You know how at the end the Celtics hung on to
the big three
too long?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that the Dolphins did the exact same thing with Dan Marino. He was not helping them.
But that's not relevant. I'm
talking
about
the last 4 years of his
career. In the prime of his career, he didn't win Super Bowls. So if you think he hurt his team, he wasn't good enough, then that should pull him down in the rankings of where you think he fits.
Well, maybe if he had the field awareness of a Joe Montana, he might have won that he got in.
But that's an individual trait. Now you're getting back to just how good is he individually.
Well,
so the championships are irrelevant, again.
No, they are relevant. Because how good you are individually helps your team win.
Would Junior Seau be considered any greater than he is?
He's not that good. He's not as good as Willie McGinest. He's not as good as the other 55. He's got Super Bowl rings.
It's not the loan criteria. No, it's not the
loan
criteria.
I agree with you.
But it matters, and it matters a lot.
But
and
it does.
In the ultimate team, see, it matters less in baseball.
Right.
Baseball is an individual sport played on a team. It's made up of individual plays.
Mm-hmm.
Football is the ultimate team sport. It's the only sport where you can get into the Hall of Fame without any stats attached to your name other than games started. You can be an NFL offensive lineman and get into the Hall of Fame and not have any stats to your name.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
That's why the NFL is so great as a team sport.
They're also pretty much the only athletes on the planet who don't have stats.
Well, but they do have to be evaluated somehow.
They have to be evaluated somehow, and it's how their team did. while they were out there.
And what they
generally
did to help their team.
It's,
when
it's
they
also
were out
evaluated
there
on Pro Bowls.
Yeah.
Yeah, that true.
For an offensive lineman, if you went to the Pro Bowl 10 times, whatever, you're going to go into the Hall of Fame. Or...
And more so on reputation than any other position because they don't have the stats to fall back on.
Which some would say is
true.
Grossly flawed.
But, you know, basketball and baseball, you know, it's really stat-driven. It, you know.
Oh, especially baseball.
Yeah.
Stat-driven. God, yeah.
You know, so that's why football is really, it's a different type of sport than any other sport out there. That's what makes it so great. You know, even as a kid, if you have the willingness to play, there's a position for you. You know, no matter what your there's some place, if you are a decent athlete, no matter what your size or makeup, there's a place for you on a football team.
No question.
You know? So that, and that's why I think it's such a great sport.
But all championships will make a player, an individual,
but the,
more great. Is
championships can lift you, but I don't think a lack of them should drop you.
I, when compared to others, it did, it will.
See, I don't know. So you're telling me that Trent Dilfer
is
better,
than Dan Marino.
Marino.
Period.
Right. But is that simply the case
but
lifted you, didn't drop Marino, so they were neck and neck, and then Montana jumped.
If it was reversed, if Joe Montana had zero and Marino had four,
well, if Joe
five,
Montana had none, he would be way down the list.
Right.
That's right.
Because he didn't have the arm strength and the things that people see visually.
Right.
But he would still have everything. He'd still be Joe Montana.
He'd be a great game manager.
But what about
you can make the case that because Joe Montana is who he is, the 49ers won those championships.
Right. But
you can't make that case now about Dan Marino, as great as he was.
No, but I asked you the question, is it because Joe Montana had a far better surrounding cast? He had the best receiver in the history of the game, bar none.
Yep.
Probably the best player in the history of the game, because no one can ever say anyone's even competitive at receiver.
Oh, and by the way, a great number two receiver.
Right. And
John Taylor.
And he has Hall of Fame defensive players.
Running backs.
He has good running backs that are very good.
Offensive
he
line.
He was surrounded by... But are you telling me the Dolphins didn't achieve ultimate success because Dan Marino wasn't good enough?
I'm saying that they didn't because he wasn't as good as Joe Montana.
So you're saying...
Joe Montana may have been able to...
Had I flip-flopped the two quarterbacks, the Dolphins would have been better with Joe Montana.
I'm saying that.
I'm not.
I'm not either. I don't think that would have
not
happened.
I'm willing to go there.
Okay.
I think
what
the
about
49ers would have been Super Bowl winners still with Marino.
When everyone talks about the greatest quarterbacks, or at least the top three, Montana's in it. Marino isn't.
Right, because so he doesn't have the championships.
Exactly.
But again, you're not...
He's better.
You can't answer... That's debatable, but you can't answer if you're downgrading Marino, or are you just keeping him?
I am downgrading. I looked at Dan Marino. What a fabulous quarterback. Just a pleasure to watch. I mean, such accuracy, quick release. He was just amazing. Mm-hmm. But he never got his team to win a championship.
Because I think Elway would be the example of that. Because I think physically he had the wow stuff. But without the titles, I think he'd be considered a second-tier quarterback.
Right. You know, as much as I love John Elway, and I think he's the greatest quarterback ever, if he hadn't won those championships, I'd be hard-pressed to make that case.
But the difference between Marino and Elway was that without the players around him, Marino didn't bring his team to the Super Bowl. Elway did three
times.
Some
would argue that once Terrell Davis got there.
No.
Right.
I'm talking about the three previous ones that they lost.
That's true. He did get to the Super Bowl three times.
The reason they got there was because of him. And Marino
he carried them on his back.
Yeah, exactly. Marino didn't do that.
I mean,
they went to one Super Bowl with him, but
you know,
that was.
I was a Broncos fan back there, and when I could watch them, I just remember third and long every series and him getting them out of it. All him throwing to Jag receivers.
Absolutely.
You know?
The three amigos.
Yeah.
I can't name them.
Clarence K was the tight end, wasn't he?
That's K.
You know, it's just. So,
is there a Morton?
Anyway. Just thought I'd bring that up. All right. WebRadioPatriots.com. Let's take
a
break. We'll be right back.
This is NFL and Patriot Hall of Famer Andre Tippett inviting you to join me at the Hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon for the next installment of the Hall Speaker Series on Friday, July 24th at 6:30 p.m. This is your chance to spend an evening with me, ask questions about my career, and get an autograph. Tickets are on sale now and are just $25 and include your admission to the Hall. Get yours now by calling 866-995-2456 or buy online at the Hall at PatriotPlace.com. And I'll see you on July 24th at the Hall.
For pride, honor, and victory. The time has come to defend our trophy. Superliga 2009. The rivalry continues. The semifinals. New England Revolution versus Chicago Fire at 7 p.m. and Tigres versus Santos Laguna at 9 p.m. Wednesday, July 15th at Gillette Stadium. For tickets, call 1-877-GET-REVS or go to revolutionsoccer.net.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
In a summer filled with concerts, one band will light the sky like no other.
For the first time ever outdoors in New England, Gillette Stadium proudly welcomes AC/DC. Live in concert, July 28th. AC/DC. July 28th, Gillette Stadium. Tickets are on sale now for AC/DC at Ticketmaster.com, the Gillette Stadium box office, or 1-800-745-3000. The one concert you cannot miss. AC/DC at Gillette Stadium. Presented by Live Nation.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We don't have any catchy jingles. We should probably get some jingles for the show. You know? Patriots, PFW in progress.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. We do need jingles.
Are you going to be opening for Billy Joel and Elton John on Saturday?
Opening for them?
Yeah, with your singing background.
Oh, is that this weekend?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you've been to concerts here. How early do I have to come? How bad is traffic for concerts?
I don't know.
Doesn't your parking pass help you out?
I don't think so.
2009 employee season event thing? No.
I think because of the stage, it's not, you know, 68,000. It's more like 48,000. So there's 20,000.
But I also figure there's going to be like a lot of old people.
Yeah, and, I mean, I've never really had a problem.
You know, people like Eric.
Yeah, get here a couple of hours
coming
early.
I'm going to see Elton John.
A couple hours early should do it.
God bless me.
So who are you going with?
My wife.
Just the two of you?
And her
Just
sister.
Like date
and
night, like the Obamas?
No, her sister and husband are coming.
Sister and her husband?
Yeah.
So, your brother-in-law.
Yes.
Or her brother-in-law.
Well, my it would brother-in-law, be his brother-in-law, too.
Yeah. So, okay, so...
His name's Dan, if you want to know.
Yeah, so you're
He's
going
my shoe
with
guy.
Billy Joel and Elton John.
Yep.
Excited about that?
I am. I think it'll be a good show, as long as it doesn't rain. Weather Channel says no rain, but then I heard some radio forecasts saying potentially rain.
Where are you sitting?
200 level.
Okay. Any cover?
I don't believe so.
All right. Well, have a good time. Eric, you going?
No, sir.
No?
I love how he totally dismisses it. Like, I'm doing this weird thing by going to Billy Joel and Elton John.
Well, I would have, if I was going to choose, I'd have gone to, like, AC/DC.
See, I wouldn't.
What other concerts are coming this summer?
Chesney. The country music
I would
festival,
see Chesney. Right? I like Chesney.
I would not go see that.
Why?
I'm not into country music, really.
You should be. It's good.
And then there was... Of course, U2's coming for two shows.
Mm-hmm. See, this is going to get me in trouble, but I just don't get U2.
I
think they're highly overrated.
What's to get? They're a rock band.
But everybody but says they're like the greatest of all time.
I have friends who say
it's like
the
a
best
religious experience.
Their live
overrated.
Show. Their
well,
live show
I
is something
I think that
you can't
of
miss.
Bruce Springsteen.
Okay,
I think
agree.
He's okay.
Well, in general, I think concerts are all overrated.
People, but people like go to those concerts. It's like a religious revival.
Jimmy Buffett's the same
way.
And
U2's the same way in that a lot of their songs are sing-alongable, if that's a word. And so people, they know every lyric and they get
but
into it.
But everybody knows every Billy Joel lyric. But he hasn't had a new song in 30 years.
Right.
Oh, believe me, it'll be a sing-along.
But don't you think most people who go to a concert know the songs that
right.
they're going to, so that any
Green
any
Day?
Concert
I don't know.
Yeah, Green Day fans would be able to sing along right. to Green Day songs.
Well, to certain songs there's chants or right. whatever. But a lot of U2's they're anthem songs.
But I think
you know?
They're overrated. Everybody makes it seem like it a religious
I do
experience
too.
With
I think
U2,
they're
and
a
I just
overrated.
Don't get it. I wow. really
they're a great band.
They put on a good halftime
they're
show.
One of the
I didn't think that was as good as everybody said it was. Everybody
well,
acted
the 9/11 thing was
right,
what
but that's my
great.
Point. They kind of had the foundation for a great show right. because of the circumstances of the world.
And so, the song was appropriate.
Right.
You know.
But it wasn't all them. It's kind of like Wes Welker. I think he benefits from being with Randy Moss. Good player.
Yeah.
They're one of the greatest bands of all time, I think.
And that may be, but I just don't get, and I've never understood. Michael Jackson had the same thing. You'd see those women in, like, India in the streets, like, fainting because Michael Jackson was driving by in a car. Hmm. Who cares?
Well, they did that with the Beatles, too, and
right.
Elvis.
Who cares?
But music. At least the Beatles and Elvis and Michael Jackson, at least, I don't know, I think
and, but
their
concerts
songs
in
were
general,
more memorable than U2 songs.
Aren't concerts
oh,
kind of predictable?
Early U2 were very memorable.
Why?
They just had, like, they were anthem songs. It's like, you know, the streets have no name.
But you know the song. Like, I think concerts are, I don't like concerts. I think they're kind of a waste of money, but that's just me because you know what you're going to get.
No, but
you
if
know
they're
what
done,
they sing.
If they're done right, concerts can be phenomenal because hearing a song live, if it's done right, if this, you know. If
rarely it, sounds as good as it does in my CD player.
That's what I'm saying. When it's done right, concerts are a great experience.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to some unbelievable concerts in my
life. What?
I saw back when David Lee Roth was Van Halen. I saw yeah. Van Halen open up for the Rolling Stones at the Tangerine Bowl in Florida.
Okay, but what made it unbelievable?
Just the whole atmosphere and every you know the songs and it was just great seeing the performers do it live.
Your big
I guess I'm kind of comparing
sound quality, right?
Well, sound quality is certainly one of the things because I generally think most aren't as good as CD quality, aren't as good as you're going to hear
well,
it.
Well, of course not. That's done in a studio, you idiot.
But that's my point. It's kind of like you're seeing a lower caliber of show.
But when it's done right, the
live
versions live
music.
Are
there's
incredible.
Nothing like live music.
See, to me, it's the performer more than the music, not...
Well...
You know,
yeah.
some guys, bands, groups, whatever, have the ability to interact with a crowd and make it feel like a special experience. But I think those are kind of few and far between.
I'll give you a good example. You like country music.
Yes.
Tim McGraw puts on a great live show, and
right.
I'm shocked that to this point in his career he hasn't released a live CD. Because when he was on tour like 4 or 5 years ago, he has a song where there's a great guitar riff throughout it, but at the end, he ends his concert with that, and he signs autographs for the crowd for like 10 minutes. And his band adds this 10-minute guitar riff to that
right.
while he's doing that. And I'm like, if I had a live album with that on it, I would listen to that version of that song more than the studio version because it's such a great
sure.
song and you've got the guitar
yeah.
thing at the end. He knows how to do a concert right.
I don't think a lot of people do.
I think you're right about that. But I'm saying when
skill.
It is done right, and I'm sure Billy Joel and Elton John will put on a good show because
well,
they've done it
and they're doing
times,
like
and...
a dueling thing.
Yeah, they're
yeah.
performers.
Dueling piano.
They know how to do it.
But I don't think a lot of people do.
Okay. Well, there's very few acts these days that can fill a stadium.
Right.
Those days are gone. You know, there used to be a time where, you know, there were a lot of bands, Led Zeppelin,
right.
that could fill a stadium. There's not too many that can do that these days.
Music's overrated.
Music is overrated, he says.
Certainly live music is.
Jesus.
The creation of the music, not overrated. But live music is overrated.
So you think
for live
that,
music is overrated.
You think that... In the annals of history, U2 will be ranked up there with the Beatles and Elvis and Michael Jackson
oh,
as far as...
Well, I don't know about the Beatles, but they're...
Well, they should be. They're treated like they're...
I think they're one of the top 10 rock bands of all time. Top 10.
Who are the top? Give me some of the names.
Well, you know, Rolling Stones, Beatles. If you want to call Elvis Presley a rock, I don't know how we categorize
I'd
him.
I'd say rock and roll is probably...
Yeah, yeah. Elvis gets in there. Probably Michael Jackson gets in
King
there.
King of rock and roll, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Elvis? So I think
Michael Jackson was the king of pop, so he can't
well,
be
yeah.
in there.
You know,
But you know, they're
Aerosmith. Would you put them in there?
I don't know. I'd have to think a little bit harder about it.
No, come on, they can't be.
Led Zeppelin, I think, is in there.
Bah.
You know,
Van Halen,
maybe. But I'd have to give it some more thought.
Multiple Van Halens.
Well, there's the. Well, yeah, actually, they did have three lead singers. They had David Lee Roth, Sammy Hagar, and the guy from Extreme, who joined them. What was his name?
I don't know. This
is Italian guy.
One of our great tangents of all time, though. Music is definitely overrated.
We did have another tangent too. Remember the
great music or great sports?
Great sports.
I agree.
The
unscripted.
We got an Ask PFW today, Fred, that I posted earlier. It should be on the web by now. Great question from I think it was someone named Chris, who said if the PFW staff had a pickup football game with the entire Patriots roster, and Tom Brady was the official quarterback for both sides,
right?
Who would be your first overall pick? And why? I said it would be Randy Moss because that makes your offense unstoppable.
And your defense.
Because if you both have Brady, you got to go with the better receiver.
Yeah, it makes sense.
The only thing that wasn't clear is whether it was a tackle game or a true pickup like touch football game, because that would make my drafting a little different. If it's just touch football, then you're just flat out drafting athletes. Darius Butlers and whoever you think the best overall athletes on the field are, essentially.
Speed is huge.
Speed. Mm-hmm. Quickness, you know, Kevin Falk,
Adalis
I'd want on my team,
Adalis
Thomas,
pick,
all these guys that I think could play both ways, play corner, play running back, whatever.
All right, let's get to some emails. Webradio at pitches.com. Big Al's on the phone from Georgia. Big Al, how you doing?
Good afternoon, boys. How are you?
Great.
Big Al.
Aerosmith played at my high school in New Hampshire in 1973.
Is that right?
And are they one of the greatest top 10 bands ever?
Did they have you announce them?
I'd have to say so. No, I didn't. Although, funny
Ladies
story
and gentlemen,
about that.
Aerosmith.
They were brand new. Their first record had just come out like 2 weeks before. This was like spring of 73. And, you know, you had to be really, really cool to have the Aerosmith record, you know, before they showed up at our high school. And I was pretty cool in high school, but I wasn't that cool.
Well, you had that voice.
You sounded cool. The girls
and,
dug the voice.
I work for the yearbook committee.
you would have had to driven down to Boston, go to the Harvard Coop or something like that and buy the record, you know, and really know all about them. And none of us did.
They got booed off the stage at UMass when they first went there.
Really? Well, what we did to them is that we misspelled their name. We spelled it A-R-R-O-W, Smith.
Wow.
You're like a Robin Hood tribute band.
They didn't have any publicity people or front guys or poster. I mean, we just didn't know. It was just ignorance. And but I do recall, I think it must have been Steven Tyler was on the little flatbed trailer that he's up there on, and he held up the T-shirt, and he goes, "Hey, thanks for having us, but next time, you know, can you spell it differently?" You know,
that's
it's
a good
not,
story. Yeah.
Bow and Arrow Smith. It's Aerosmith. But anyways, I wanted to call to say that I haven't called in several months, I guess, but since I called, I have been to Gillette Stadium for the first time.
Oh, wow.
Very impressed. I mean, just incredible. You know,
did you go to the Hall?
I went to the Hall of Fame. Just fantastic.
Sweet.
All the guys from back in the day that you remember seeing, you know, when you were a kid and all this, and the 50th year coming up, it's just a great thing. And Jim Nance is the only running, he was the first running back in the Patriots Hall of Fame, and much deserved. And I think at some point, you know, we may want to consider Sam Cunningham, Andy Johnson, you know, possibly, but certainly Jim Nance, you know, deserves it. I'm just so impressed with the whole layout of everything, and, you know, all the shops everywhere and the hospital. And I mean, you know, for having gone to I attended the last game that the team played as the Boston Patriots in Harvard Stadium in a snowstorm against the Vikings, and you're throwing snowballs at the Vikings because they were blowing us out. We had Joe Capp, and we sucked, and you know, and you
the
think
good
that,
old days.
You just think that this is it. You know, these people are good. We're never going to see these clowns again, and to go from that to what you see now is just, it's just mind-boggling, really, how it's all progressed. And so very, very impressed, and can't wait to get back.
Did you eat?
Slightly, yes. I was there for the lacrosse tournament, so
nice.
I pretty much celebrate, and my team won, so I pretty much celebrated, nice. Ate and drank heavily throughout the weekend, I'm proud to say. But anyways, just to piggyback on your discussion, I think it was interesting what you said about Marino. And, you know, I always thought that somewhere in the late 90s that he was going to go to the Steelers as kind of a hometown victory lap thing, and he might be just what they needed, and they might be just what he needed at the time, you know, a better defense, better running game, you know, that type of deal. And it just kind of always surprised me that he finished up with the Dolphins. I don't know if it surprised you guys, but.
Well, I remember those rumors of him possibly going to the Steelers. But like I said, I think I said it during the time that the Dolphins will never get over the hump until they make the decision to go forward without Dan Marino. He was holding them back.
He really was. I mean, they were great in September and October, but, you know, in November and December when it got a little colder and the weather's a little crappier and, you know, you're not maybe playing all your playoff games at home in Miami anymore like maybe you had been for a period of time. You know, all of a sudden, you know, you can't just win with Dan Marino throwing 45 passes a game. You got to have something else. And they just didn't really have enough to get past that first round or eventually even make the playoffs. And, that's why I thought at some point that he was going to end up with the Steelers. Just even for nothing else in a victory lap. Like, I always thought Larry Bird would play a year with the Pacers, even though he eventually coached there. But I thought, you know, just at the end of his career, because he's a, you know, a hometown hero or whatever, that he would go back there just to say he did, you know. But that never materialized either. So
yeah,
I don't know, maybe I'm making more of those things than I should.
I respect the player more when he stays with the team he played with over his career. You know, like,
well, sometimes you don't have it. Like Joe Namath, I mean,
he had a choice. He could have not gone to L.A. He could have just been a Jet and called it a career. Montana could have called it a career as a 40.
Well, Namath had a reason to go to L.A., and that was that he wanted to get into movies and TV, and, you know,
well, he could have done that without
a place for him to be.
He could have done that without playing for the Rams.
Plus, it was a mutual thing. The Jets wanted to move on. They had to move on. He had two bad knees.
Right, but
he really couldn't help him anymore.
But to Al's point, if Namath wanted to go into movies and television and all that, he didn't have to play for the Rams to get that opportunity. He was Broadway Joe before he got to the Rams. You know, he could have easily just made that jump right away. I don't think that necessarily precipitated his becoming you know, what he wanted to become. You know, but I just think those kind of things are. You know, if you're known as a particular player for a particular team, I think, and you're a good player, it's nice to go out like that.
Brett Favre,
like Troy Brown. No, like Troy Brown.
But Brett Favre is. I think the thing with Favre is, and this is me. Maybe I'm just reading too many tea leaves in here. But if you think about it, the last 2 years, his last pass of the season, the last 2 years in a row, has been kind of an ugly pick that cost his team the season. Basically, the season ended for the Packers in that overtime, and then last year with the Jets against the Dolphins, his last set pass was kind of a pick to end the season. So I think a lot of athletes I think they're concerned about how they look when they go out. You know, they don't want people to remember the last thing. I'm not sure that that's really worth worrying about. I think people would have solidified around Brett Favre, but it may be that that's on his mind, that he wants to have a better ending, you know, than he's had the last couple of years.
Yeah, but the thing that he doesn't realize is that he can't do it anymore. I mean, he's going to end
it.
Like that.
He doesn't have it.
Either he wins a championship, which he's not going to be able to do, or he's going to end on an interception.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's who he is now.
Yep.
You know, it's like Willie Mays stumbling around center field for the Mets. You know, at some point,
right.
You know, it's over.
Yep. Yeah, that was I do remember that, too, and that was pretty
Yeah,
although
it was sad to see.
I don't think I ever saw Willie Mays in his absolute prime. I saw him, you know, kind of when he was at the end of his rope anyway, but that at the very end, and that was pretty embarrassing for, you know, for him. But do you think it's possible that Adam Vinatieri chose the Colts to, in a certain way, to stick it to the Patriots?
No. I mean, he didn't mind going there to stick it to him, but I think that you know, he was going where the money was, and the Colts came in. I think they weren't in the running right away. They only came in at the end,
and offered him the type of money that would make him go. I don't think he was thinking.
But how much more money would the Colts have offered him than some other team? As a kicker.
Yeah, I don't know. I forget the details at the time, but it was significant.
Yeah, yeah, it was good money.
It was very good money.
And the idea of kicking indoors.
Mm-hmm. And winning.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Going from Tom Brady to Peyton Manning was pretty good.
I mean, he won a Super Bowl again.
Immediately.
Right, to make a lot of money, go inside, and have arguably the best quarterback in the game
I don't begrudge Vinatieri for doing what he did. No, that's not the kind of thing that gets me upset. It's what Favre is doing. It's ridiculous.
Right. Oh, I think we're pretty much, the whole country has had enough of Brett Favre at this point. Although, you know, the story has kind of died down over the last two or three months. I haven't.
Well, everything,
you know,
in the
hasn't
NFL
been,
has
it
died
hasn't
down.
Been the ESPN, you know, Brett Favre has been put on deep freeze for a while.
Right, but it'll if he goes back there and training camp starts, it'll pick up again.
It will.
The thing that I don't get is, does he not realize how he's being perceived by all sports fans? I mean, does that not matter to him?
It must sink in at some point, you would think. But, you know, again, I mean, sports fans are results-oriented, too. And so if he comes back and he feels healthy and he starts having four or five good games, then all the whole bandwagon will start up again and everybody will forget about all the crap over the summertime. I think he succeeded in that last year. I think when he was hot there and when they beat the Tennessee Titans down there to beat the last undefeated team, I mean, I think pretty much all the junk over that summer had been pretty well forgotten. So, you know, maybe he can pull it off again if he's healthy. But it doesn't sound like he's that healthy. It sounds like he's still got issues in there.
He does, but here's the thing. If he does do well, he's going to infuriate Packer fans even more. You know, so I think he's
enough
in a no-win situation. I really do.
Well, he needs to talk to you, Fred. He's been getting bad advice, obviously.
No. He's not going to listen to me.
He's not going to get
Have a good day,
advice.
Fellas.
All right.
Yeah.
All right,
take care.
I'm going to retire and come back and work for the Bruins.
Okay.
All right. That's Al. And we should – hey, Walter in Cambridge, did you guys read the article in the Globe today about a new sports station in Boston?
No, radio station?
Yeah.
Are they taking resumes?
It says, Walter in Cambridge says, have you guys heard of a new player in sports radio, the Sports Hub? According to the Boston Globe, they will be airing Patriots games during the year.
Does BCN know?
We'll have to find out about
that. Yeah, we'll have to find out about that.
That doesn't sound legal.
No.
Well, because we heard rumors that BCN might be turning to sports. That's been going on for a couple of years now.
Oh, is that the new game
so
that they might be
BCN
going with?
BCN would be. Oh.
Now, 98.5 right now is Mix,
right?
But they're owned by the same company.
You're right.
Mix Radio is CBS as well as BCN.
What does it say in the story?
I don't know. I just got an email from Walter Sigler.
And why was it not in Clips this morning?
Dvorkin's going to
know.
Look
that's
it up.
More
I read the morning clips that are supposedly have everything with the word Patriots in them, and I didn't see this.
Well, maybe they didn't include it in the clips.
I should have if it involved airing Patriots games.
My clips are censored.
Mm-hmm.
Why would that be censored out of the clips?
I'm eating a Nature Valley Oats and Honey bar sent to us by Bill in Colorado, who also sent us some Vail caps.
Yes.
So thank you, Bill.
And the Vail caps have all Patriots sponsors on them, I believe, right? Sprint, isn't that a Patriots thing, NFL thing?
Is it?
Yep.
Sprint is
Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew.
Is a
part of Pepsi.
Is part of Pepsi, correct?
Yep.
Yes.
Volvo used to be, are they still?
No.
Not Volvo. And then, obviously, Vail Resorts, powered by Wynn.
But this is a 2006-07 staff cap.
What do you want, an 08-09 or whatever?
Yeah, 09-10.
09-10.
You should take the cardboard out of it, and the next time you put it on, it'll fit better.
Oh, I like the cardboard in.
Fred always has the cardboard in his hats.
He looks ridiculous.
He's got the hat on over the headphones.
Let's see. Let's get to some emails.
I've never seen Fred wear a hat.
I wear caps a lot.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it.
Especially when I don't shower, which is quite often.
Oh, boy, and you're wearing a hat today.
Rory writes in.
The racing car?
And he says, Rory here from Manchester, England. Country in the United Kingdom, which also consists of Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. Been listening to the show via the podcast all off season, and I occasionally email, but I haven't had any read out. This email is mostly just a little rant aimed at Andy and Paul about something said in their little two-man show last week.
Why is it going to be little?
How on earth two fans of football can brand cycling A dirty sport is beyond me.
It's the dirtiest.
Andy regularly acknowledges that he isn't really that bothered whether football players are on drugs. Contrast this with the word of cycling, where riders are drug tested regularly in a sincere attempt to clean up the sport.
NFL players are tested regularly.
And guilty parties are banned usually for 2 years as opposed to a pathetic 4 games. Sure, there have been several high-profile doping cases in the sport, but these guys have been caught and punished appropriately. Cycling is the toughest sport in the world, and some guys do try to cheat to get ahead, but they get caught.
No, they don't.
He goes on to say, American Tyler Hamilton was banned for years and stripped of his Tour de France win. When he returned, he was a shadow of the man he was and subsequently tested positive again and was banned for life. This proves he just couldn't cut it, so he had to cheat. Lance Armstrong, on the other hand, the greatest cyclist in Tour de France history, has never tested positive for anything. Okay, I lied. He tested positive for corticoids, and it turned out they came from a cream he rubbed on his ass for saddle sores.
Right. Barry Bonds got caught with a cream, too. Those creams, they screw you.
So he says that Armstrong was never tested positive, and that said he won't win the Tour this year. All right, sorry for the long rant, but it had to be said.
No, it didn't.
One last thing for Paul. Be careful about the doc's offer to bring some gear to your party. I don't trust anyone calling himself the doctor.
Wow.
Wow.
Unless you're looking to cheat in cycling, because then if somebody comes goes, I go by the doctor and I can hook you up.
Doctor, you going?
Yes.
Can I make a request that you not wear your Speedo when you go?
Well, what am I going to wear then?
Oh.
Can I borrow yours?
So you can borrow Eric's blue suede thong.
Update on the CBS radio thing?
Yeah.
According to Boston Sports Media Watch, Mix 98.5 is going to move to 104.1. BCN, as it's currently known, is going to go off the air at the end of August. They're being told that Felger and Tangway could be doing some afternoon shows on the new station once it gets going.
Wow.
Wait a minute. Doesn't Felger work for EEI?
He's not on the contract. He's on the contract with Comcast.
He has no contract with EEI.
No.
How do you know?
I know that.
So Mix 98.5 is going to become the sports hub station?
98.5 is going to be the hub?
98.5 is going to be the hub.
Yeah.
104.1
is going to be Mix.
Yeah.
Are they taking resumes? And where do I send?
Wow, that's big news for the Boston sports
landscape. And again, why that wasn't in clips.
And they're saying that
mysterious.
Patriots games and the Bruins games are going to be on this new sports station. Which
yeah, they'd have to. Well,
news to all of us.
Wow. No, but Patriots games would have to be because
it's BCN.
It kind of screws up our media guy that said our games are going to be on 104.1 BCN this year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they own the right to the games.
Oh, sent from
yeah,
them.
It's CBS. It's all one parent company.
And BZ is the Bruins, is CBS.
Right.
Right. It's all
right.
Intertwined. So they already own the rights to those games.
Yep.
They're just moving. And
wow,
they
become
them.
A major player from day one because they have Patriots and Bruins.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You split, especially now with the Bruins back at relevant. I mean, you split the sports town right down the center.
Yeah.
Whereas for a while, EEI was taken up.
And our buddy Mike Felger, perhaps on the station?
And perhaps in the studio again for a Patriot, some sort of show on Friday where he can argue with Fred?
Interesting. So that would mean maybe he's on the Sunday pregame show.
Right.
You know, that
BCN's
BCN
thing. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Does any of this involve
did
us not being
on? Was it possible?
Well, he's
yes.
already, yeah.
Okay, so he's. Wow.
I got to tell you, not a good idea.
No? Why not?
Too much of them.
Really?
Break them up, maybe? But everybody gets them twice a night on TV.
Oh, right. Right.
Break them up. Too much of them. They're not good enough to take over the Boston media.
Well, maybe Tangway takes the midday show and Felger.
That I would be okay with.
Yeah.
Although I don't know about his opinions in a radio format daily and all that. But, I mean, do you think I'm wrong that they're not good enough to be on from 2 in the afternoon to 6 at night on the radio and then move right over to TV for an hour and then you see him again an hour? I mean. I don't find them entertaining and informative enough. No offense, guys, but filling 5 or 6 hours a day, I just that's
I
a lot
know.
Of them.
I don't.
Felger's
know.
Already everywhere.
Have
as
a
it
collapse
is.
Lung for a short period of time and then have it not
right, well,
collapse.
That's a developing story. We'll have to get more on that.
This Vegas show is just all out porn. Wow. I can't believe that
by
was
the
on
way,
TV
you guys
and
the
I never
hangover
knew.
Yet?
No.
What's that?
Have you seen The Hangover yet?
Last time I brought this up on the show,
you
got
yelled
mad at me
at him.
Because I asked you about it off the air in the office the day before.
Did you see it?
How do you talk to him in that hat?
Yes, I saw it. It was very funny.
All right.
Chris Ferreira, could you come down and take a photo for us, please? We need it for PFWProgress.com.
Anthony in London, one quick point and one quick question. Last week, Andy and Paul were commenting on the state of the pitch at Wembley Stadium. Just a quick point to say that the pitch should be fine this time around. As before this year's FA Cup final, they had it relayed and it didn't cut up at all.
Yeah, but that's soccer. That's totally different.
Also, last week, the guys answered someone's question asking whether or not the Patriots would do as well as they managed last year with Kevin O'Connell at quarterback. Both Andy and Paul said no. So my question is, should Tom Brady go down in week one as he did last season and be done for the year, assuming that we don't use O'Connell? Which of the current crop of free agent quarterbacks would you choose to fill in?
Well, Brian Griese just got cut by Tampa Bay. That's, I think, an interesting proposition.
And, of course, the media emails where the Patriots should sign him.
Well, but I think in this case, I think they're legitimate. I think that would be a good choice. And I don't necessarily think that he would win out within a month the backup QB job. He might, but, you know, I still think that's O'Connell's to lose. I think it would be more a case of filling the role that, like, Jim Miller and Doug Flutie played, where it was a veteran, who the emergency third quarterback, more depth on the roster, more experience, that kind of thing. I could see that happening. And maybe if he had, you know, in a pinch he had to play,
right,
you wouldn't be as concerned as if Gutierrez or Hoyer came in and they've really, you know, had to have no experience, basically.
Okay.
Sure.
I guess there was a story in the Herald today about Brady out in the West Coast practicing with Matt Cassel.
And then I saw something, yeah, pictures of him throwing to Welker.
Well, that's the thing. We've got a couple emails about Welker being disrespected. One of them is from
I tried to go
Allison,
to the photos, but our blocker popped it.
And she says, she's in Rhode Island. She says, I guess the Boston Herald didn't feel like including Wes Welker in their story about Cassel and Brady practicing out in L.A. because Welker was out there on the field with them and catching Brady's passes. It seems like he finally got the invite out to L.A. There were also other paparazzi pictures of Welker going out to lunch with Tom and Giselle. I wonder what kind of house guest Welker is. P.S. Everybody's favorite nice little player is even shorter than Giselle.
A nice little player.
Yeah, she's very tall.
She's over 6 feet, easy.
I don't know if she's that tall.
I don't know if she is either.
No, she's
I would
tall.
Say 5'10", 5'11".
Probably.
Somewhere in there. I don't think she's 6 feet.
With heels, she is.
Okay, on a step stool, I am.
I actually walked really close to her and Brady once. And she was, like, right up there with him.
Until Tom yelled, security!
Well, yeah, it was...
And Fred heard.
It was something like
aww,
that. Something like that.
I had no knowledge of that.
William Barry, Paul's favorite emailer, also says the same thing. How does Welker like being the Patriots' teammate, in quotes?
That's
that
what
practiced
it said?
With Brady on July 9th. Yeah.
Wow.
He's got
made a Pro
220
Bowl.
Passes over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Goes to a Pro Bowl. He's a nice little player.
Nice little teammate.
Mikey Vandalism writes in. He's got a
premium audio
premium,
MP3.
But he also says, haven't written to the show in a while, but I came back from a nice visit this weekend at Gillette Stadium and checked out the hall. The Revolution game was going on, so they were charging for parking. They don't charge for Revolution parking, do they?
I didn't think they did.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? It was the international game. That's probably why.
Oh, ooh. Honduras and Granada.
FIFA?
It was a FIFA game?
It was the Gold Cup. U.S. played, Haiti played, Honduras and Grenada played.
Yeah,
so
usually, Mikey,
crew.
They don't charge for Rebel. Anyway.
Which anthem did you play first, Honduras or Granada? Grenada, however you say it.
Grenada.
That was a big controversy last week, Fred. Which anthem gets to be played first?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So because they were charging for parking, Mikey says he and his buddy drove around back by the field house and convinced one of the road attendants to let them park in the restricted parking area where the police and event staff, so we wouldn't have to pay. I think it was $40 to park.
$40?
Wow. So your boy kind of snuck into Gillette Stadium thanks to the crazed lunatic who actually let us park in the restricted area.
Nice job.
Next time I go, hopefully I can meet you guys. Anyway, here are some pictures, and he sends the pictures I got, and as always, a premium quality MP3. I'm hoping Doctor has already listened to it.
This is a premium quality MP3 brought to you by Mikey Vandalism.
Too loud already.
Well,
What's up, guys? At PFW in Progress, this is Mikey Vandalism coming back from my visit from Gillette Stadium this weekend, which it was absolutely amazing. Checked out the hall. It was good stuff. So I'll add some pictures in with the email. But my question for this week is going to be a premium one, and it's going to be about the Oakland Raiders cut rookie sixth-round pick defensive end, projected to be linebacker, Stryker Sulak. And I was just wondering, what do you think the interest would be on the Patriots, checking him out, bringing him in, maybe working him out and see what he could do? The Patriots actually gave up that sixth-round pick to Oakland to trade up for Ron Brace. So I thought that was kind of an interesting connection there. So what do you guys think about that? But before I go, my input on the great debate you guys got going on over here, I'm going to have to side with Andy.
Woo-hoo!
I would absolutely take Tom Brady for 10 years versus 19-0.
Mikey
V, you're a fool. Out.
Sounds like you people are standing alone.
All right.
Unbelievable.
Okay.
A landslide victory for Andy.
Mikey Vandalism with an MP3
the
offering.
Great debate was not so great. In fact, there was no debate. Andy wins in 08 and 09.
Yeah, it's 09, fella.
Walter Sigler writes in.
Wait,
we're going to answer his question?
Oh, okay, go ahead.
No, thanks. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm all set with him, too.
You don't want to
use a sixth-round pick?
No, the Stryker Sulak.
They could have had him if they wanted him. I don't.
Yeah. The Raiders just continue
you have
to
no
baffle
interest.
Me, though.
Yeah. I don't really know much about him. I remember the name in draft prep, but don't remember thinking, oh, a good Patriot.
You know, he might have done something. You never know.
Yeah, but.
Or he might not have. It might just be the Raiders.
It could be. Walter in Cambridge also wants to know, with this radio thing, so is Patriots Monday and Friday going to be on BCN?
No.
Do you think you guys will go back to 4 days? No, it was never. It's always on EEI, and it will continue to be on EEI.
Well, until the contract runs out.
Right. Well, they pay for that. That's their.
Right. But when that contract runs out, who knows? Maybe the Hub will be a player.
Could be.
All I know is it's good news for those of us in the sports media.
Let's see.
Fred,
yeah.
I was on the phone.
Opens up opportunities.
I was on the phone for, I don't know the name of the show. Mike Felger has a Sunday night show now. And they do a round.
He's on every day.
Somewhere. Yeah. What's the name of the show? No one knows.
Isn't it Sports Night on Comcast?
But they do like an around the thing with little faces on the phone, and I got to do one the other night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He asked me about Butler. It wasn't all that exciting.
How'd it go?
It was fine. It was like.
Who were you on with?
He was on the phone.
But you said we had little bubbles with everybody else.
Oh, I didn't watch. They were from around. It was a guy from Dallas, a guy from Toronto.
Oh, okay. That's what I want to know. I just want to know who else was on.
Denver, Dallas, and Toronto, I believe, were the other three.
Okay.
Good Lord. I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
Paul emailed in today and asked if the photo they used was, quote, from high school.
Why was it?
No?
No. Maura O'Brien gave it to me. It's what she's been using. Or it's my, what do they call those? It's my publicity photo.
Headshot.
Publicity.
It's when I, you know,
you're
I can autograph them.
You're 8x10. I should probably get a box of those, huh? So I can sign them when needed.
Yeah, have them in your trunk. You know, you sign them with a marker.
You never know when the opportunity's going to pop up.
Yeah.
Kind of
let's
deal.
See. Bill from Vail, who sent us the
Yay!
Caps.
Yay!
And
the granola bars.
Oats and honey granola bars. Yeah. Hey, guys, and the distinguished and honorable Mr. Scalavano. Emailed in a few shows because it seemed that my last email upset Mr. Scalavino. I, too, was teased when I was a youngster, and I know how much I used to get upset over it. However, that was when I was six, and I'm a big boy now, so I really don't care. Obviously, it still upsets you, so, Eric, I want to apologize for any remarks or name-calling that might have hurt your feelings. I mean, there really isn't anything to make fun of. You are a semi-accomplished, untrained artist.
No formal artistic training.
Who likes to play Scrabble with imaginary people. You have expertise in lubricants. You ask for verification of the size of a guest male anatomy. You were a kicker at a school that no longer has a football program. You have done porn. You're right. There is no reason to tease you.
That's ridiculous.
I have a sure way for you to win the kicking competition with Gaskowski. Instead of actually challenging him to a field goal contest, why don't you challenge him to a drawing contest of each of you kicking a field goal? Though, not sure how that would work with tracing paper. So now I wonder, who on the show will I pick on? Paul? Hello. Nah, he'll just tell me how wrong I was. Andy? Nope. He's agree with me only to say something under his breath, but still audible over the air. Fred? No way. He's just ramble on about something totally unrelated, And by the way, Fred, I was going to put some money down on the UFC fights last Saturday, but no one would take my bet Sunday.
Oh, because it's always better afterwards.
Always better to bet on a fight after it ends. Yeah.
This is the ugliest freaking cap I have ever seen. It really is ugly.
On your head, it
is. The blue and the black. It's just an ugly cap.
On your head, especially when you have headphones on.
Yeah.
Bill, do you get much beaver out there?
What is that? What is that supposed to be?
It's Beaver Creek. I assume they named it after the amount of beaver in the area.
Don't look at me. He's the one who said it.
It's not even like a subtle joke.
Like a flow joke.
You know, it's just like...
Sorry, I
where's the out on that one?
Right.
Did you go to Beaver Creek while you were out? Weren't you just out there?
I did not go there. I drove through it on my way.
We're in Colorado.
Beaver. We were up in Glenwood Springs.
Big beaver.
Yeah.
Some you can drive a truck right
outside of Aspen.
Outside of Aspen. Is it near Eagle at all? Eagle, Colorado?
Past Eagle.
Past
Eagle. Did you go skiing?
I see. I've been
wrong
to
time
Eagle.
Of year.
Been fishing in
Kidding.
Eagle. That's good country.
My sister lives in Eagle.
Yeah.
See, I could say you get a lot of eagle, but that's not funny.
Brian at Tuscaloosa, I've been listening loyally for almost a year now, and I can say without question that Eric quitting the last 15 minutes of the show a couple weeks ago was hands down the funniest moment ever. Can you please drop a no formal artistic training soundbite before continuing my email?
I have no formal artistic training.
Remind me, why did you quit? Why did you boycott the end of the show?
I don't know.
What were you being
somebody
sensitive
said,
about?
I don't know. Somebody
was it Bill? He got you all worked up?
No, it was probably one of you clowns.
Probably Fred.
Is that you? You just wouldn't talk?
No, you got got worked up at the beginning of the show because that was the day we played the bit with the guest and the anatomy verification.
Oh, right.
And then somebody sent in an email later in the show, and you just took your headphones off, hung them on the microphone, and you sat there like this for the last 15 minutes.
Right. You did.
Arms crossed.
Yeah, no, I remember that part, radio. But I don't remember
he
what
remembers for sulking. He just doesn't remember why.
Right.
Brian,
unlike Paul, I don't hate for no reason.
Brian goes on to say, I love the Marshawn Lynch and Calvin Pace suspensions. Most fans would say that they like to beat an opponent full strength, but not me. You know, every opposing fan of us last year jumped for joy when our leader fell. They even went as far as printing off Bernard Pollard fan club T-shirts and erected monuments celebrating the about-to-be-cut safety. So,
well, Fred, you believe in that. You don't want to beat a full-strength team. You just want to win.
I just want to win. I
that's
don't
why
really
you're
care
often
who's
heard
playing.
Rooting for injuries.
When we're not at full strength and the people beat the Patriots,
yeah, they don't
they're
say,
not
oh,
saying, oh,
the
well,
Patriots weren't
right.
at full strength.
Just, Patriots fans do. But
yes, you know, right, but the rest of the league doesn't.
Now, I will have to say that, you know, we're talking about the great moments in Patriots history, which, by the way, you can vote on now on Patriots.com. You know, one of them were when the Patriots went into St. Louis with no defensive backfield
right.
and beat the Rams
handily. Yeah.
It was an amazing feat to beat them shorthanded.
Baker threw a touchdown.
Yeah, but losing shorthanded doesn't take the sting out. You know, to say, well, we didn't have so and so. It does. It never takes a sting out of losing.
Right.
It does help you in winning, though, to beat a team shorthanded.
Kind of like championships help make a great player greater, and they don't detract from the ones who.
True that.
Right.
What was that?
Next email.
Let's see. Who's this? This is Sam, the Red Sox fan, on behalf of Sam McCassie. I don't know who that is. Anyway,
it says Sam from Brighton.
Huh?
In the subject,
subject line. Sam from Brighton.
Oh. Anyway, a few weeks ago, you were talking about NFL Network's top 10 clutch quarterbacks of all time, and none of you seemed to mind that Brady was third, not first or second. But that is because you guys did not know that Brady was second on the list until 07, after the Patriots lost Super Bowl 42. They changed the list and moved Elway ahead of Brady. So do any of you guys have a problem with that? I do.
Okay.
You think Brady should be ahead of Elway?
Yeah. I don't think that Brady's performance in that Super Bowl that won't be mentioned should take him down a notch, because clearly he had no, you know.
It wasn't just him.
Yeah.
Right. And
I mean, he spent half the game on his back.
But he didn't rise above it.
He did not.
That would have been an opportunity to yet again.
Actually, I would say he did. I think he came through at the end when they scored the touchdown to Moss.
Right.
He didn't come through when
and
they
the
had
defense
time
didn't
left
come through
they
after.
Chucking it.
Well, but. He was executing the plays that were called.
He didn't win.
Do you want to know the list?
Sure. Go. Quickly.
Marino, Young,
is this
Star.
10-9 or 1?
10-1.
10-1.
Okay, Marino, Young, Star.
Graham, Stabler, Unitas, Staubach, Brady, Elway, Montana.
I'm okay with that list, I guess.
I'm okay with it.
I'd probably put Elway ahead of Montana, but that's just personal preference.
But, I mean, he lost an opportunity, just like the Patriots did. He lost an opportunity to cement his legacy in a number of ways.
Well, this new NFL.com list has Unitas as number one, Montana as number two, Peyton Manning as three, Brady is four.
This is clutch? Same list?
That one's all time.
This is all time.
Reading is all time.
This is all time. So let me go over this again. Unitas is one, Montana, Manning, Tom Brady, then Brett Favre, Marino, Elway, Y.A. Tittle, Warren Moon, and Troy Aikman. I don't know. I got to think about that a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see Manning in front of Brady.
Wow.
Was that that was the best all-time, or was that clutch?
All-time.
All-time.
The other one was clutch.
And Unitas, you know, wasn't he more of a short-type passer?
I don't really know.
I don't really get to. Bill likes him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great quarterback, no doubt about it. Anyway.
Isn't he the one who can throw behind?
Patriots have a new beat writer.
Yeah,
I guess it
Ian
was announced from the Herald. Name is Ian Rappaport. I guess he's from New England, but he was working out of state for
Alabama
a while.
He was covering
Nick
Saban.
And Strippers wants to know if he'll be any good.
No.
Andy says no. Just out of spite.
Yeah.
Why do you say that? How do you know?
Because he took my job.
Okay.
What does he know about the NFL? He's been covering college football. He's been playing in the little leagues.
On the phone right now is
fine.
Jim from Texas.
Oh,
Jimmy,
Texas on the phone. Jim, how you doing?
Guys, it is so great to hear you guys rant, rave, yell, scream, and go off on a tangent for I don't know however many long. It's got to be tough to do your job because let's be real. Not a whole lot going on in the Patriot world, but it's always great to hear you guys make stuff up as you go along.
That's all it is, buddy.
That's all it is. We're just making it up as we go along.
I would like to say this, too, though. I didn't buy you guys lunch. I'm investing in the company because I believe in the show. I'm a big fan, obviously. I call all the time and what have you. But, Fred, that stuff as far as Marino and Elway, I will say this about it doesn't take away the greatness of a player because Marino never had a running game in all the years he played there. He never had a defense. And he can't pick players in the draft, and he doesn't really control free agency. So if you put Marino on a number of teams, like Barry Sanders, was he any less of a back? Is Emmitt Smith a better running back because he's got rings and Barry doesn't? I would submit to you, no, he doesn't, because Barry played for an awful team, an awful organization his whole career. When he wanted to leave, when he tried to leave, the Lions wouldn't let him. So what did he do? He retired. He said, you know what, enough. But if you gave Marino if you gave Marino a really good defense, if you gave him a running game and teams couldn't scheme against the one thing that they had going, which was passing, I would tell you this, that Miami would have been a formidable team all time. That's my take on that whole thing. And
that's
as far as Elway versus Marino, no contest. Elway was a better athlete, probably is, and he's certainly a good quarterback mobility-wise, arm-wise, smart-wise. And he carried a very mediocre Denver team, a couple Super Bowls, where they got obliterated, by the way, against the 49ers and Washington and a few others. But that doesn't mean that he's not a good player. It just means that his team around him and the conference that he played in, the AFC, was weak. But he was the best of a weak team in a conference. That's my take on Elway.
And his teams got obliterated in the Super Bowl because their defense couldn't stop the other team's offenses. I mean,
it's a line play. They always get buried at the line.
But the bottom line is, I think Jim's right. Physically, he's every bit as gifted as Marino, and he won. So he has the best of both worlds. It's not like we talked about Montana because his physical tools may not have been as impressive as Marino and Elway and some of the arm strength and the athleticism and quick release and all that crap. So I think that's why Elway's in front. He got lifted by the fact that he got two Super Bowl rings to close out his career. That lifts him above.
Well, and how did he get those Super Bowl rings, Andy?
Terrell Davis, exactly.
And they also had Alfred Williams on defense as well, or not Alfred Williams, but Neil Smith,
Al Wilson, yes.
and they added a few other guys as well. Hal Roker, yeah, they had him too running around back there. They put some pieces together on defense, and they gave him. I mean, and let's face it, Terrell Davis, when he was right, was really good.
Was tremendous.
He was a tremendous back in a scheme that seems to always produce a 1,000-yard running back, but Terrell Davis
was
the best running back Denver's had in probably forever.
The scheme produces 1,000-yard runners. Terrell Davis was a 2,000-yard runner.
Yeah, he was a pretty terrific back. So, but again, is Elway any better? And I tell you this, Elway was a shell of his former self when they won Super Bowls, but it wasn't him winning it. It was him just doing enough with guts and guile, and he made that run where he got spun in the air. And no question, Elway's a great player. But, I mean, it wasn't just him that won it, and it wasn't just him that lost it.
And
he had a better team when he went to the Super Bowl. That Green Bay team was pretty good that they beat.
Mm-hmm.
That Atlanta team wasn't anything special, but I would tell you this, though, that they beat the defending Super Bowl champs when no one gave them a chance to do it, mind you. So
the other thing I would offer up on Elway is that at times people question Marino's fire and whether it was detrimental to the team. I think Elway was every bit as competitive, but maybe did a better job of harnessing that and leading his team. And
didn't
I think
point
at times Marino
at
may have been a detriment to his team.
Well, think about this, though. Before free agency, I know for some people under the age of 25, they have no idea what we're talking about. But before free agency, if you were drafted by a team, if you were a good player, like Elway and like Marino, you couldn't leave.
Right.
They wouldn't let you go.
Yep.
So nowadays, think about this, though. Belichick and that staff has to put together basically about every 1 or 2 years, they got to remake some section of the team. Like this year,
we rebuilt
the secondary.
Right.
You know, you completely have to, because players leave. And I think next year we may rebuild the offensive line. We may completely change it over. So it's a lot more like college than it was 20 years ago when teams could basically just say, well, they had Plan B free agency, but that was a joke because you can protect the top 40 players on your team. So who really cares between 41 to 53? It doesn't make any difference. But y'all, a great show. Love the show. And Eric, are you feeling well today?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, Jim. Thank you.
Okay, because Brian was telling me that you weren't feeling well. I was concerned about that because I was hoping that Fred's not working you to death. Fred, what's the matter? If Paul's not in work today and I don't know, Eric is dying of malnutrition. What's wrong with you people?
No,
I'm not dying
fine.
Of malnutrition.
I'm doing
I had
fine.
My calzone. I'm happy.
Actually, how was food today? Was good?
Tremendous. Well done.
Good. Eric's not dying of malnutrition, although you did seem hungry. I mean,
it's a disease.
The way you ate that banana. It was like, you know.
You're you're just an awful person sometimes.
You're not going to follow the banana.
Hey, Jim, I hear you're in the Coast Guard. Is that accurate?
Yes, that is correct, sir.
And what do you know about those boats that can roll themselves over?
You mean self-riding ships?
Yeah.
I know a little about them. I've been on a few of them.
Have you ever been on one? Can you roll over while going?
If you roll one of those things over, you're going to have to tell somebody why. And if I'm just doing it for just to get a laugh out of somebody, they might have some heartburn about that. But no, we go out in the Gulf of Mexico. We do search and rescue. Sometimes we do some law enforcement. We do fisheries and stuff. And let me tell you what, there's some days I really don't much care for my job, but most of the times I do like it. I like the Coast Guard. It's been really good to me. I enjoy the guys I work with. But you go on a shrimp boat with some of these scavengers, it's like talking to a 6-foot, 200-pound shrimp, and it's like, the guy tells me, I don't want you on my boat, and I tell him, hey, man, I don't want to be here either, but, you know, but that's the way life goes sometimes.
Do you get
a
gun?
And also, to point out with Eric, though, I'm in the minority, but I will agree with Eric on the 19-0 thing, and
good
here's
man,
why, because I think that they have a chance
blow
to do
up.
It this year.
Yeah, they do.
I'll tell you what, this team right now is pretty stacked, and I would say this, too. This is the line I'm using for the rest of the year. No prisoners, no mercy, go Pats. You guys
Absolutely.
Have a great day.
All right, Jim.
All right, Jim. Jim in Texas.
Great caller.
Absolutely. What was I going to say?
I would not want to go onto boats in the Gulf of Mexico.
Why not?
Drug trafficking, human trafficking, Colombia, Mexico, Cuba. I mean, there's a lot going on down in that region.
All right.
I don't have quite the bolos that you have.
Let's see. LT from Australia writes in. He says, greeting to all PFW in Progress members.
And Eric.
Great show last week.
You're a jerk.
Though I have to say the A-team was so much better than the Tuesday show with the interns. I think the interns were better than B-Lo, but
wow.
Where was Christina?
Wow. So now B-Lo has failed as a host, failed as a motivational elementary school speaker. tough year for B-Lo.
Having said that, having our fearless leader and the Prince of Pomposity return from their vacations, I want to hear some stories.
Eric, do you have any stories?
Nope.
Did you meet anyone?
Nope.
Now, where did you go?
Nowhere, Fred.
What do you mean nowhere? Did you leave the house?
Yes, I left the house,
so
but I didn't go away.
No, but where'd you go? Make some day trips?
Home Depot.
Ramrod.
Home Depot.
Shut up.
Went to the beach.
What beach? Narragansett?
Yes.
Any
No, nothing. Ale? Nothing.
Nothing?
Nope, no stories.
Did
none.
You look for any?
Well, of course.
Were you on the lookout?
Sure, there
or
was.
Were you by yourself? Did you go by
there
yourself?
There are no stories, yeah.
So what did you do while you were... Now, see, now, I paint me the picture here.
It's going to take him a while.
Yeah,
you go
yeah,
to the beach by yourself. Okay, do you have a chair? Do you have a like one of those little folding chairs?
Sure.
You don't sit on a blanket, you sit on a chair.
Either or, depends.
Do you have like a cooler with you?
No.
How about
just
music?
Like a, just a water bottle.
An umbrella.
Music?
No.
Book?
Yeah, usually a book.
So you sit and read?
Yeah.
Are you wearing a cap?
Actually, yeah, because, you know, the bald head, that's not good.
Sunglasses?
On and off.
Yeah. Sunscreen. Yeah. You're putting the sunscreen
on?
Oh,
have to. I burn quickly.
Yeah.
It. Yeah.
So basically, you're looking like a nerd.
Yes.
That's not the way you're going to pick up girls. You got to, you know, first of all, if you go by yourself, you should bring a friend so that you can play frisbee.
If you go. Another great moment.
You know, you should bring a friend.
You go
so that,
by yourself. You should bring a friend.
You go. You, what I meant, it's two sentences. You go. You went by yourself. You period. You should bring a friend because you know otherwise people go. Oh, there's a lonely guy.
Yeah, Fred. If I had the friend to bring, I would bring her.
Oh, that's sad. I didn't know about that. You don't have it. You didn't have anyone to bring. That's sad. You know,
we're trying to tear you down. Apparently, for the rest.
Were there
of the
nice
show?
Girls there?
Did there was one, yes, there was a very, very hot girl and her sister
and
not too
just,
far away.
You just leered at her
and her,
all day.
And her mother.
And
you
just so scared. She was young?
She was young, yeah.
High school?
You just burned holes in her
are you
with,
sure?
With your eyes.
I'm basing it on the mother's age because it's hard to tell what the young girls know.
That's what I mean. They
so
could be anything from 14 to 25.
I was basing
so she was with her mother?
Basing it on the mother's age, I would say she was like early 20s.
Why don't you pick someone who's not with their mother?
Actually, at your age, you might be looking at the mother.
She was hot.
No.
You're 40.
No, I'm not. I'm 36.
36 or 38?
36.
You sure?
I might
add 73 or subtract 73 from my.
I wouldn't be giving out your birth date to these whack jobs.
I didn't give any. I'm telling you. Well, you are a whack job.
So how did
and
did
we're
you
on the
do
radio.
Anything to make your intentions known to this person?
Hey, Lisa. You look pretty hot today.
I like your boobs.
Maybe we should go to lunch sometime.
What was your strategy?
No, Fred, I don't have a strategy.
That's the problem.
I like your boobs.
I'm an old guy on the beach all alone. He's
bald.
Not going to make any moves on a girl who's there.
Hairless where he should be, hairy where he shouldn't be.
Good point by Andy.
So why don't you spend your time
my
in a place where you might have some luck?
Gay bar.
See, now.
Read a new email, Fred. Nothing
I'm
happened,
sorry.
Nothing happened on vacation. There's no news. There's no stories like last year.
I just need to let
on.
You know. I let him say about 100 times, so Eric, you're by yourself.
Yeah.
And I didn't bring it up.
But only you would think about
yes,
that. Oh,
exactly.
By the way, report out of Kansas City. The Chiefs have signed Matt Cassel to a multi-year contract.
Oh.
Yeah, that report. We've gotten that report a number of times over the last 4 months.
And it was shot down. Well,
it was
just on
there was
Sports
a report.
Now.
There was no report.
ESPN just
well, this is
they're
a source
expecting
telling
to announce
the Kansas
it today.
City Star terms of the deal have not been released, although the team is expecting to announce the deal today.
Fred, all did right. you notice that your boy Wes Welker changed agents to the Dunn Company?
I did notice that.
You think there's a – now, the report said that indications were that this had nothing to do with a new deal, but do you think there could be anything laying the foundation for maybe
– there could be something.
Paul and I said if he goes out and has another 100-catch season –
he's probably going to want some more money.
He's probably going to be looking for new money.
Yeah.
And this could kind of be the first step in that direction.
Okay.
Getting a plus, Dunn is now back in the game. I don't know exactly when he stopped
David
being
Dunn,
suspended.
David Dunn, who was suspended, who
is now
never
back
really
in the
was
game.
Suspended.
We had dinner with David down at St.
Yeah,
Elmo's.
Yeah, so St. Elmo's in
with
Indianapolis.
Him?
Well, I mean,
the next table.
We were reasonably close.
Mark Sanchez was there,
Mark
too.
Mark Sanchez.
And,
well, that's a little bit
players.
Of false advertising to say you had dinner with him.
He was eating dinner. We were eating dinner. We were in the same room. Yeah. I had dinner
well,
with him.
Well, he eats dinner every night.
No, but I'm not always
not
in
the
same
room
and at the same time.
You weren't with him.
I was. We also had dinner with Trace Armstrong.
Right. All of these guys were about as far away
as you.
From us as you and Doc are right now.
Did you talk to them?
With my eyes.
You undressed him with your eyes.
That was really interesting.
All right. On the phone right now is Craig from North Carolina. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you guys doing?
Did I get to you quick enough?
Yeah, you're good.
All right.
Don't even start, Fred.
Okay.
Wow.
Craig, do you have
you
any
guys
dating?
Doing okay?
Yeah, but Eric needs some dating tips. Can you help him out?
No.
He's had a dry spell.
Don't worry about
it. Just let the guy be part of the show, okay? You guys are making him so damn defensive, he's afraid to, you know, say anything.
That's true.
I mean, you know, I realize the show's entertainment and everything, but damn, give the guy a break.
Thank you, Greg.
We did. He had last week off. He's back.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Well, all right,
then. Hey, listen, you guys were talking about, especially you, Andy. I know you're very proud of the fact that, you know, a lot of the fan base, I guess, you know, was kind of siding with the Brady for 10-year deal. I think that those of us that are die-hard, live, breathe, and eat Patriot fans are the ones that are pretty much wanting the 19-0 deal. You know, and we appreciate Brady as a player and love to watch him play, and he's a great player, done a lot for the team and everything, but given the amount, I think it's based on the amount of pain you experienced as an individual when that game was over with. And if you guys will recall, when I went to Gillette and you guys gave me the tour of the place and everything, which was awesome, and I so much appreciate it.
Which was right
before
you
disappeared. My brother Mark was with me, and my brother Mark is a freaking Giants fan.
Yes.
Oh.
So that game, you remember Mark was talking about the Patriots and the Giants in the Super Bowl there in the studio that day.
Yep.
So that game hurt even more, you know, because I had to listen to him, you know, talk about the freaking Giants forever. But so that's just my take on it. I think the strongest diehard Pats fans who experience a significant amount of pain are the only ones that are.
I think you're right. I think the more you are a Patriots fan, the more you want the 19-0.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's ridiculous.
Because it's about team accomplishment, not about the individual.
Right.
Yeah. And, hey, you guys were talking about concerts before.
Yeah.
Andy,
you
just haven't been to the right concert.
Exactly.
Okay, what should
I
do?
I think, you know, Fred and Eric are right on this one. Sorry, dude. But the best concert, I've been to a whole boatload of concerts. Love music, and some groups are much better live than others. Journey, Eagles, Styx, Moody Blues, Chicago, they were all excellent live.
Okay.
Excellent.
And is U2 overrated?
In my opinion?
Yes.
Hell no. If they were overrated, they wouldn't sell out every time.
Well, there's a lot of things that sell out that are overrated. Anna Kournikova sold out. She sucked.
They can charge what they want to charge, and they're still sold out. So how could they be overrated?
Would you put them in the same league as Beatles, Elvis, and Michael Jackson?
Well, see, you're talking in two different things. You got a concert experience, and then you've got, you know,
I'm not talking about the concert. I'm just talking about
overall.
Should they be in the same conversation as those?
I would say they're probably in the top 20, but I think, you know, for this era, I mean, they've been doing it for quite a while too, guys. You have to remember, so I'd say they're probably even in the top 10.
Longevity isn't everything.
Excuse me?
Longevity is not everything.
No, but they keep cranking out good sounds, you know. I mean, they're definitely popular worldwide. I mean, they're more popular in other continents than they are here. So.
To their credit, at least they do put out new music. It's not like the Stones, who just go on tour every year and keep singing Satisfaction over and over again.
David Hasselhoff is popular worldwide.
They're singing the same crap now as they did back in 1985 when I was there for Live Aid. That was awesome. That was a concert. 20 hours.
Wow.
20 hours?
You were there for the whole 20?
I was there for the whole 20.
Were you drugged?
Was I what?
Drugged? Did you need, like, uppers to keep you going the whole time?
No, I didn't need uppers. Everybody around the whole place was like, want to hit, want to hit, want to hit. You know.
So you said yes?
No. That wasn't what we were doing.
Oh.
But there was 140,000 people there.
Wow.
That was an awesome concert.
Where
and
was that?
Yeah, where was that?
That was in Philly.
In Philly.
At JFK. 140,000 people. It was June of 85. And what was really cool, if whoever, I think it was Fred that said he loved Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
The surviving members of Led Zeppelin, when it got dark, they got up on stage, they put the spotlight on the two surviving members of Led Zeppelin, and they said, you know, it was like a minute of silence. They started playing, and they said, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Collins on drums. Mm. And then Eric Clapton filled in on guitar.
Oh.
I mean, it was like
awesome Stairway to Heaven. 140,000 people screaming that song with the lighters going. It was off the hook.
That's good stuff.
All right, Craig.
See you, fellas.
See you.
All right. Hey, I never finished LT's email. He says, my football question stems from an argument I had with some of my friends. In Australia, our footy seasons are coming towards an end, and the teams who can't reach the finals, our version of the playoffs, are tanking for draft picks. Involves placing players in for year-ending surgery, fielding teams which aren't strong enough to win games, etc. The most contentious point of this argument is that the teams play not to win whilst on the field, and supporters on these teams actually want their teams to lose. Like the NFL, the tanking argument revolves around the last-ranked team obtains the highest draft pick in the next season. It seems that this tanking argument flares up every year, and the media spends weeks debating the topic. We are only in round 15 of 22 rounds, and it seems that the argument's already alive, and teams seem to be already tanking. Do you think that tanking occurs in the NFL where supporters actually want their teams to lose? Also, do teams start to play their rookies and younger players and make sure – shoot, this thing just came up on my computer. You have these Outlook. You have a meeting, and then the thing pops up. Anyway, do you think that tanking occurs in the NFL –
wait a minute, you have a meeting?
Where supporters actually want their teams to lose? Also, do teams start to play their rookies and younger players and make sure that their senior players get rid of their injury niggles and be fully fit for the next season? Do you guys support tanking teams? Does it involve as much argument in the States as it does in Australia?
It doesn't sound like it involves as much argument, but it comes up.
It sure does.
And it certainly happens where young players start to play. I think sometimes, honestly, to get playing time so that the next year they may be starters or contributors.
And I think they're doing it at a point where they are, you know, they know they've not made the playoffs. So they're just saying, all right, let's start rebuilding. I don't think they're necessarily tanking. I think they're doing more preparing for the future. They say,
but
well, if
they're
we're
also
not gonna...
tanking.
Yeah, but
they're also trying to ensure that they get a high pick.
Also, and it's not tanking, but there are a lot of cases of teams taking it easy that have already made the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true too. Yep.
So
I am a big – I know you're supposed to the sport and the – but you have a job, and that's – to build a team, win, and if you're late in a season when you're not going to win, then your job is to win the following
year.
You
might as well give your young players experience if they're going
to... Right. So it's up to the commissioner to look out for the best interest of the game in the league, but it's up to your coach to look out the best interest of your team. And maybe sometimes that means ensuring that you get the number one pick and get whoever, a quarterback or whatever you need to be better.
I don't think they necessarily go out to lose, though. I think they put those players on the field hoping that they'll do well.
And you get by with the argument that the players that are on the field are playing to win.
Yeah, right.
So whenever that is, whoever that is, they're playing to win, and I'm coaching to win. But if I make some decisions that may have more of a long-term view than a short-term view, well, I need to do that for my team.
Let's see. Cormac writes in from Ireland. Hope today's show's going well.
UK?
Can't listen live, but I just remembered to tell Andy I admire his taste in women. Yes, it was me who posted Laetitia Costa.
Laetitia, but she does have the T-I-T in there.
On PFW in Progress, and I am glad we both share such superior taste. It is amusing how the younger listeners list hot teen stars, and those of us in our 30s go for the more refined, mature women. So, guys.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I still like some of the hot young teen stars.
So, guys, can you give us all your top three women in the world? I can't.
Why?
I can't think of them all.
Laetitia Costa would be in mine. I've had a thing for her for...
I don't even know who she is.
Going on a decade.
Yeah, she was... What? No, she was a...
She was a Victoria's Secret model, Sports Illustrated, I think, for a while. She was voted something in France where she's like the official woman of France. I think they put her on the money.
Oh,
her...
so you mean Sarkozy's going to have another one
of
those.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. How's your boy? Checking out any fine tail lately?
Right.
I've always had a thing for both Halle Berry and Angelina Jolie as a little older.
I like Halle Berry.
I'll give you Halle
Jolie's
Berry, but
just too skinny.
She is now. She's past her prime.
Yeah.
She does not look as good as she did a few years ago.
Yeah.
But for a while there, she was up there. Jessica Alba
certainly
would be in my mix.
Certainly a top three.
That would be a tough draft. That would be difficult to really narrow it down to three.
What about Tony Romo's ex?
No, thanks.
I like her, but her weight fluctuates.
At one time, you were really into her.
I wish
I was really into her. She gets fat sometimes. She gets a little kind of stupid.
So,
yeah.
Let's see. Apart from that, I wanted to ask if there are any further plans on any activities planned for the London game. Not yet, but they'll come to fruition. Finally, I'm on the 19-0 side as I am obsessed with bragging rights. The fact the perfect season has only happened once before, whereas Super Bowls are won every year. And since we don't know how Brady will play for 10 years, he could start playing like crap once he hits 35.
Very logical.
Well, I go with the guarantee of 19-0.
And you're correct in doing so.
And you, like the rest of these losers, can say, we were great once.
Let's see.
What's that Toby Keith song? I'm not as...
How do you like me now?
Dan writes in response to the championships makes Hall of Famer discussion. Marino deserves to be in the Hall of Fame based on his performance and the records he set, but he shouldn't get the selection over QBs that won more championships like Montana. While the fact that his supporting cast was weak shouldn't hurt his reputation, it shouldn't help it either. A championship caliber quarterback should rise above the shortcomings of his teammates, as they should do for him to win. That's what makes it a great team sport. Remember, Brady's first championship came throwing to Patton and Brown in a decent running game.
Yes. The first championship is one of the miraculous stories in all of sports history.
Right, and it's part of his legend. It's part of Tom Brady's legend.
Yep.
But that alone would not have made him the greatest of all time or anything of that nature.
Correct.
I mean, he's built since then and proven he can do... so much more.
Right.
We underrated his physical tools. We underrated his overall abilities. He makes everyone around him better. Mm-hmm. That is his greatest strength.
Aaron writes in from Sterling, Virginia. I agree with Fred. Good to have him back, by the way. Why do championships matter? Because of the intangibles. Better players make the guys around them better. Team players take less money to surround themselves with other talent.
Yeah, like
performing when it matters in the playoffs needs to be considered. Here are the responses for big-headed excuse-makers. The quarterback's wide receivers aren't as good. Great quarterbacks should know the strengths of their wide receivers and should complement them with play calling. They should also be leaders and inspire them to work harder like Brady. The quarterback's defense wasn't as good. Why should the defense be on the field? Great quarterbacks should implement 8-minute scoring drives, keeping their defense off the field. Brady did. Quarterback's running back wasn't as good. Short passes, screen passes, and audibles should take the place of a running game. A great quarterback needs to be able to employ this like Brady. Marino is the A-Rod of the NFL. Great stats when it doesn't matter. The point of the game is not to see who can pass for 300 yards, rush for 100, score four times. The point of football is to make the playoffs and win a Super Bowl. Championships need to play a part in the conversation.
Right. Yes, we agree on that.
A part.
A part.
That's all we're talking about. I don't think you can put too much of an importance on it, though.
Oh, I think you can. Todd says, Felger back on the air. The return of Hans and Fritz, which would be Eric, since Franz can't be named.
What's Fritz?
That's you.
Yeah, but where does that come from?
I don't know. Fritz.
Because Franz is someone else?
Just saw Paul McCartney on Saturday. He put on a great show. I normally don't like live music. Usually the live music is a letdown.
Right.
Green Day playing the new CD would be great. Their new CD is awesome. Fred, you had a week off and no new inventions?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Did you see that Chris Cooley stole my idea, Fred? Remember years ago when I said, why don't they put little sensors in the football and put a grid under the field so that everything is electronic? And Well, Chris Cooley wrote about it in Monday Morning Quarterback. He filled in this week for Peter King and stole my idea. Called it smart football. He's calling for the league to start doing it.
Okay.
He's got a great blog, by the way. I watched his video blog this morning, drove across country with his wife. Very entertaining.
Joe wants to know, I was wondering if Tom Brady will be 100% before the first regular season game, and if how good do you think Fred Taylor will be this year?
Good.
Especially the big question mark, though, with him is how healthy is he going to be?
He'll be healthy. He will score.
And if he is, he will
eight
produce.
Eight touchdowns. He will have 5-plus yards per carry, and he'll be a playmaker on this offense.
William Berry says about Johnny Unitas, he stayed too long. In Super Bowl V, he sucked. If I remember, he was benched for Earl Morrill, who also sucked. Luckily for the Colts, Dallas sucked even more. However, in 1958, the stuff Unitas had was awesome. One can argue Raymond Berry, former Patriots coach, made him by inventing route running, etc. As opposed to, I'll go to the 50-yard line, turn left. It was, I'll take 3 steps, then stutter step, and fake going over the middle, then run 10 yards before doing a button hook. However, the QB and receiver are like the chicken and the egg. That's William Berry.
I agree.
Raymond Berry was quite a receiver. He had amazing hands, they say.
They say. Yeah, that was before your time, right?
Let's see. Josh from Arlington. I don't know how Marissa Miller is not in the top three.
She's
top. Everyone,
in the
she is definitely.
Oh,
not.
Yeah.
Who is she?
Underrated.
SI swimsuit.
Blonde.
Nice. She was on the cover a few
boobies.
Years ago, I think.
Oh, is that right?
She's hot.
Yeah, she is.
She is definitely hot. Underrated. Good call. Good underrated. They also had some good European additions, people that I'm not really familiar with.
Yeah, there's a...
Pretty hot. They also have what I believe to
older,
be a doctored photo of Keira Knightley.
For a cougarish entry, can I submit Monica Bellucci?
I don't know who that is.
Who
yes,
the
you
hell?
Do.
How do you
yes,
know
you
these
do. She's an actress. You would know if you... Doc, pull up the picture. She was in The Matrix. She was in...
was she the... She Neo was, liked her? That was his girlfriend?
No. That woman looks like a guy. Monica Bellucci was the...
Right up your alley.
She's long, dark hair, Italian accent. She's you'll know her when you see her picture. Yes,
about.
You will.
I don't know.
Yes, you will.
I didn't see the movie.
You didn't see The Matrix?
No. Started to watch it once, fell asleep.
You've
terrible.
Seen The Matrix.
Oh,
stupid.
Of course.
Stupid.
Stupid.
Then you know Monica Bellucci.
She related to James?
She's got the short white skirt. Yes, you do.
Nathan in South Carolina. Last year I attended the Chargers-Patriots game in San Diego, and it was a tough game to be at, especially because my seat was right near the end zone where the Chargers held Patriots near the one-yard line for four consecutive downs. I can imagine that this year they're going to be even better with Merriman, LT, and LBS, which he calls little bitch sproils.
Whoa.
I think he means sproles.
Sproles, yeah.
Able to play. I have a Fred-like feeling that we will be seeing them in the postseason, and they will pose some serious challenges for us. Break down how we can beat them, hypothetically, in the postseason, assuming, of course, that both us and their players are healthy and playing up to par.
Never seen her before in my
yes,
life.
Yes, you have.
Never.
Let me see.
Ever. I would.
How do we beat the Chargers?
Oh, by
I
the
would.
Way, we had the most obvious one staring us in the face the
Nikki
whole
Cox?
Past hour. No, Vanessa Marcil.
I like Nikki Cox.
You do like Cox,
wow,
don't you?
Wow, she's really good, but I don't
no,
remember.
No, but you do.
I don't remember her in The Matrix.
It's just inappropriate.
Yeah, she was. It might have been Matrix 2. It was one of the Matrix movies she was in.
She's pretty
Reloaded.
Hot.
Reloaded.
Yeah, she's.
Was that the one?
She, I don't know if she's in my top three or five, but.
As a cougarish entry, I said. But Vanessa Marcil
even,
takes
even
the cake.
Beyond
yeah, I don't need the cougar. I mean, she's hot, but.
Vanessa Marcil.
There's a lot of hot women out there.
We'll
it's not all about the body, Eric. Sometimes you got to look past that to the personality, the brains.
Right. Exactly.
You should take anything you get at this point.
All right, well, that's going to do
you
it for
should.
This edition of PFW in Progress.
CFIM.
We're all back except for Paul, so we'll be back on Tuesday. We'll see you then.
Freddie might be a homer, but the PFW boys still respect him.
It's not a problem, Chief. Don't call me Chief. Sure thing, Jerk. Chief is fine.
Patriots.com Radio.